Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. He's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Rogaine, check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine, check.
And Andy. And Andy?
You have to park so close?
Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey, guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like, who let the dogs out? Who?
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress on a Wednesday. A little warmer than it was yesterday.
A little bit. Because the wind is let down.
But we're at a cold Gillette Stadium here in Foxborough, Massachusetts, December the 30th, 2009. And we'll be here until 2 o'clock taking your calls and emails and PFW in Progress as we do every Wednesday. And Happy New Year, because this is the last time we'll talk to you before the new year. We're not doing a show tomorrow. What's tomorrow?
Patriots Friday.
Patriots Friday is tomorrow on Thursday. So this will be it. Is Bilo doing his fantasy after us?
No, because fantasy football is pretty much over.
It is over.
Very few leagues go into the final week of the season.
So what comes after us today?
We're going to have Playbook, and then we're going to have...
Oh, John Rook will be here?
John Rook will be somewhere
in his mom's basement.
On the radio here, and then we will have Shop Talk.
Okay. Oh, Shop... Ooh. A post-Christmas Shop Talk.
There also
maybe some Randy Moss mask talk.
I like it. If anyone has a product that they got late or was broken, make sure you call and complain.
You should also, there's going to be
good,
press conferences this afternoon with three of the four Patriots Pro Bowlers.
We need to talk about a lot of news happened between yesterday and now. Patriots to the Pro Bowl. Vince Wilfork, well-deserved.
Starter.
Wes Welker.
Reserve.
Well-deserved. I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Randy Moss not going.
No.
Tom Brady going as a reserve.
Reserve.
Well earned, I think.
Sure.
And who else?
Logan Mankins.
Logan starter. Mankins.
I knew you were stumbling when you started naming guys who didn't make it.
Logan Mankins. Did. I'm not sure how guards get on there. You know,
they get voted for.
Yeah. But
I'm certainly not going to argue that one.
Yeah.
I think that once you establish yourself
right.
as a good player, it's
hard to
You're in the mix.
And he increased with the player coach vote.
Yeah.
Did he? He was second or third with fans and made it to starter with the player coach vote. So they see him on tape, they go against him.
It's just a tough process.
It is.
Because the fans, you know, obviously there's too much.
Let's face it, the fan
hometown,
vote doesn't count.
His hometown.
Paul's right about the fans.
And the coaching and the players, and Bill talked about this today. He had his press conference as normal this morning, which probably is already up on Patriots.com.
Right.
He just said, you know, we really deal with our team, and we see the teams that we play against.
Right.
And four of those teams are in the NFC. So it's hard to really know who deserves it, who doesn't deserve it, as a player and a coach even.
Right.
You know, they obviously
but
know
they
who's
get
good.
More than that, because they also watch anyone the other team played. So any team that the Bills, you know, all those teams, it grows exponentially.
But still, it is hard to sort of gauge that, I would think.
Well, you're not going
to
see every snap of every player, but they see a lot of the players through the extension of the, you know, every team that Houston plays, they happen to see, you know, the guys on Houston. So they see a lot of players. A lot more than we see.
Yeah, I guess.
We see highlights.
Well, but it's a tough process. It is a tough process.
But they're a lot more qualified to do it than fans are, no question. But there is no perfect
system. What about writers?
Oh, writers are the worst.
Yeah.
Writers have so many biases.
So there really is no, for any sport, there really is no good way to do it.
Well, the one thing that they try to do it with the split, fans, coaches, players, I mean, if they wanted to, they could add a fourth and add writers, make it a four-part process.
Yeah, I mean, you got to do whatever you got to do. I think this system that they currently have, like, you know, I think it's as fair as you can get.
Yeah.
Everybody has a say.
But they don't know. I mean, you talk to players, they're like, hey, who's good at receiver this year?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They...
The conversations that you overhear around the time when they vote are hilarious. You know, because they're almost like looking around for anybody to say, oh, yeah, Andre Johnson. He's
and a guy
really
can steal basically 53 votes, because if someone in the locker room says Logan Mankins is good, if somebody on the Bills said Logan Mankins is good, the other 52 guys just write, okay, guard, Logan Mankins, because somebody said it.
And they even talk to their fellow linemen a lot, you know, like, who's the toughest guy you go up against? You know, they might go to Mankins.
Right.
So who's the toughest guy you go against? Because they're trying to pick.
But that's what I mean.
Line,
once he gives his opinion, he's the expert, and everybody goes, oh, he must know.
So it's hard. It's a hard process. Brady, you know what's funny? Brady, totally deserving. But there was he was close.
Yeah.
Because Chubb had a great year.
Yeah.
And statistically, maybe even better than Brady. I mean, I know he's thrown for more yards. That doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot to me. But he's had a very, very good season. But I think you make the right call, because if it's between Brady and Schaub and there's not a huge difference, you got to go with Brady, don't you?
Well, you go with the guy who won his division already, is higher, you know, more wins.
Well, I don't care about that as much as I do the star.
See,
part.
I
it's,
do.
It's an all-star game.
I think a quarterback, he gets credit for wins.
I haven't even not looked me. At the list yet. Any major snubs this year?
I don't know.
No?
Vincent Jackson.
Receiver for the Chargers.
Good, Fred. Good.
Not Bo.
Major snub? I don't know if it's a major snub. Who knows? They were talking about, you know, I did catch a little of the NFL Network show last night. Very little of it.
Yeah.
There was some guys that they were saying, who would you be shocked to not see on the list? And more than a few of the guys that they came up saying, you know, Tony Gonzalez in the NFC.
Really?
They said, you know, that would be a guy I would be shocked not to see. Well, you didn't see him.
You didn't see him.
Vincent Jackson was one of the guys they mentioned.
Guys on there that shouldn't be?
Brandon Marshall.
Brandon, really?
Well, put Vincent Jackson ahead of Brandon Marshall. I buttonhooked you there. You thought I was going with Welker. I could tell by the look in your face.
No.
Brandon Marshall, to me, he has not had a great year for him.
He had that one game.
Yeah,
that
21
was,
catches.
Yeah.
And if we're going by Andy's theory, it's winning the game.
Of his production.
They lost the game.
Yeah.
But it's one-fifth of his production for the year in one game. He has 100 catches, 21 of them came in that.
Yeah. All right, so Pro Bowl, which is a joke this year, because any team that's in the Super Bowl, their players can't play. And like you said, Paul, earlier, in addition to the players that don't want to play. So there's a list.
There's going to be potentially like two dozen changes to the roster, or 20 changes that week.
What's going to end up happening
And it's
this
not
year,
even a big deal to go, because it's only in Miami.
Right. More guys are going to be considered Pro Bowlers from the 2009 season than ever before, because you're going to have a mass exodus of players that don't go for all the reasons you guys just mentioned, and then, you know, the fifth and sixth alternates are going to end up going, and you get credited with a Pro Bowl, like a Willie McGinnis. It's a Willie McGinnis Pro Bowl year.
What do you think was the reasoning behind having this Pro Bowl the week before the Super Bowl in the same location?
Well, I think they're trying to make it a full week in the place.
Well, it is anyway, isn't it? Now it's 2 weeks.
No, because a lot of the rich people, it picks up on Thursday.
That's true.
I think they're hoping to make it a full 8-day week.
Really?
In the city.
Are you going to go down early just to go to the Pro Bowl?
Well, I think they're hoping people that can't go to the Super Bowl will go early and then stay for some of the parties later in the week and then leave. And
I don't know.
I'm not saying I agree with it, but I think you could probably sell it to a city that you're bringing them a legitimate 8 days of business, and maybe that somehow negotiating-wise.
I'd love to hear the rationale behind that particular argument. But other than that, I haven't really heard a argument to me that even would persuade me slightly.
And is it a cost thing? Does it save money for the league?
Maybe.
Not sending people to Hawaii?
That could be.
I don't know. Yeah. I really don't. I don't think it's a great idea. I'm not a big fan of it. I don't.
Yeah, I'm not a big
But some people must be. There must be some owners and some decision makers who liked it, right? They did it.
I just think it's one of those, you know, much like the voting process, it just doesn't work in football.
You know what?
You can't play this sport.
You know what I would propose? You know, I'm just kind of
Lord
thinking
only
out loud.
Knows. No. Holding a knife to a
you know,
kicker's
I've
girlfriend's
always said, get
throat.
Rid of the game. The game is ridiculous. You can't have a game that's violent like that played for fun. You just can't do it.
Well, like hockey. Hockey is really physical, right? It's
right.
a violent sport. But this, you can take all that out and just have the skill
right.
showcased.
Like basketball.
You can't do that in football.
Right, you can't do it. Because part of football is hitting the guy hard.
And hockey is not a great all-star game. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But you can play a whole different kind of hockey without the
right.
physical nature, and
right.
you could still have a semblance of the sport. How can you play football without tackling?
That's right.
You can't.
So here's my idea is get rid of the game. Continue with this idea of having the Pro Bowl the week before the Super Bowl in the same location. But instead of a game, you have events with all these all-stars there where the public can go and meet these guys and interact with them. And maybe there's flag football. Maybe there's volleyball, you know. Robert Edwards aside. Maybe
Robert Edwards kind of ruined some of those ideas.
Right. But maybe there's other events that include all these great players that the fans can see them. And
sure.
And that becomes like the week-long, you know, festival, if you want to call it that.
Sure.
And then the players, they get celebrated, but they don't have to play in a game. You know, I don't know.
I don't think any of it's
I think
ideal,
that would be so. Better.
Yeah.
I think your idea would be better than
what they do.
They
already do that, right?
Well, they have events.
Remember when Vinatieri and Akers had the kicking contest that was on TV?
Is
like,
that at the Pro Bowl?
Yeah. Oh,
I didn't know that.
They have some sort of events with trick type stuff.
I think if they're clever enough with the type of events that can include a lot of people, I don't think people would mind not having a game. You know?
Maybe. I don't know.
You know,
what's
maybe,
the attendance like at those games?
Not full. You can always see seats in that Aloha Stadium or whatever it is.
Yeah, what do they sell, like 40,000 maybe?
Yeah, I don't know.
Something like that.
And how many of those are family?
Yeah.
Right. Friends and family.
Other players.
Yeah. So it's not the type of game you can play half speed.
No. While we're on the Tom Brady news, we should also, he was the Offensive Player of the Week for his performance against the Jaguars. And I don't know if this was out there or not. He's also the Ed Block Courage Award winner.
Courage Award, yeah.
You know, joining Michael Vick among the 32 in the league honored. I'm sure he really likes that.
So each team nominates their own Courage
Well, there's a
guy.
Team winner, and then there's a league winner from those 32 teams.
Okay. So he was the Patriots winner.
Yes.
Okay.
He is the Patriots recipient of the Ed Block Courage Award.
I guess so. Why
Coming
not?
Back from a season-ending injury a year ago. That's what it said on the release.
Oh, yeah. Cheer for Tom.
I guess.
Sure.
I can't think of any guy that displayed more courage.
I mean,
I
you're not going to have a like an obvious one every year. Some guy that
right.
you know, battled back from cancer to catch 100 balls. There's not going to be that many types of those people. I mean, Michael Vick won it for the Eagles. What did he do that was courageous? Step out of prison and back onto a football field? I mean,
I can make a case for that because...
Yeah, well, you know what? The Ed Block Courage Award made a case for holding a meeting to see if they were going to not allow the Eagles to name him their winner.
Really?
Yeah, they
oh,
held
I didn't
a meeting.
Know that.
Yeah. Then they decided it's always been picked by the teams, so they'll allow it to continue. But they considered stripping it.
Wow.
As they should consider. I don't. Not only do I not think he's a good guy, but what courage did he show?
Well, I think in the you know, he could have handled coming back a little differently. He kept his mouth shut. You know, we don't know all the stuff that he had to put up with that the Eagles know about. You know, threatening letters or, you know, whatever.
I don't think that's courage.
In their mind that he, you know, by, you know, turning his life around like that took a lot of courage.
I think it's an effort by the team. And listen, I'm not ripping the Eagles for doing it, but I think it's an effort by the team to try to say this guy's not a bad, not really the bad guy you think.
Well, maybe
he is.
They feel that way now.
No, but I'm just, there's no courage being shown here.
Okay.
And I don't know maybe I'm being too literal with the. With the award and what it's supposed to mean. But Andy's right. How many times do you have a guy who...
Like
you know,
BC, the guy who's going to come back next year. He should win whatever the Courage Award is.
Yeah.
Because he legitimately, you know, battled something and fought for his life and everything. Michael Vick killed dogs, went to prison, and was able to come back and get his job back.
It's kind of a funny thing.
If anything, he got a gift.
It's like the comeback thing that we always argue about. It's a funny thing. You know, what exactly is it?
I really think for the Patriots, the Courage Award should have been James Sanders for being in the same locker room as you, Andy. I mean,
that's
that takes courage. At any moment, he could be assaulted.
I would have given it to him. The courage to return to the lineup after being benched for so long.
Oh, yeah,
the courage to lead his team. They now have communication in the secondary. 4-0 under his leadership.
Courage not to be a malcontent on the sideline.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And by the way, I'm not going to spend the rest of the show talking about Bill Polian.
Sure you will.
But the more he opens his mouth, the more a fool and a hypocrite he makes himself.
I agree.
And I'll let Mike Florio do the talking for me. If you're interested, go to profootballtalk.com. Florio breaks down all the comments that Polian made on NFL Network with Rich Eisen and just blows him out of the water, blows Polian out of the water, showing how basically he's just out and out lying. There's no way Polian can believe the stuff that he's saying right now.
Such an idiot.
So, you know, go to profootball.com and read that. You'll laugh. It's really good stuff.
Is there anything else you'd like to say before we move on?
About?
I don't know, maybe apologizing for something stupid you said near the end of yesterday's show.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, I don't want to apologize for that.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. On the phone right now is Christian from Revere. Christian, how you doing?
What's up, guys? What's happening?
How are you?
How are you, man?
All right, hanging in there. Wow, what a difference a week makes. Just, you know, it gives you hope for the playoffs, that performance on Sunday.
Is it real hope or false hope, though?
Well, that we don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, as unimpressive as the wins against, you know, Carolina and Buffalo were, although Carolina looked pretty good against beating the Giants, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's just, to see the rhythm and to see them go up and down the field like they used to, you know, just gives you that they can, you know, I know they got the talent, but just that they can still do it. And, you know, don't forget, about a month ago, Belichick couldn't coach. You know, is this as good as Brady's ever going to be? He's just going to be mediocre, you know, all that talk. It seemed like we put a little bit of it to rest. I know it's only one game, and we're not probably going to not find out this week. I mean, I doubt they'll play a half. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I don't think they'll play a lot this week.
I think they'll play close to a half. I do.
Yeah, I mean, it'll probably be around there. So, in the field right now, I mean, you know, just seems wide open. I mean, San Diego's really the only team that scares the hell out of me. Indy, I mean, listen, we hung 34 on them.
I'll say this. If you know, we talked about if the Patriots play the way we've seen them play at stretches, they can beat anyone. But also you can say if they play the way we've seen them play in stretches, they can be beat by anyone.
They could be blown out.
And they can be blown out by teams like the Colts and the Chargers. So you go in there not knowing. It really is. And it makes it interesting, intriguing.
Well, that's what makes the sport great.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's all these teams vying. And, I mean, anybody really can beat anybody right now. You know, the only game that they were really blown out of, you know, out of the water, I thought, you know, was the Saints game.
The Saints game in the second half of that first Jets game, I thought that they just looked absolutely terrible on offense.
That's a good point.
Back, that's right.
Even though the score was not a whack,
no.
They were as thoroughly outplayed in the second half of that game as any time all year.
That's right.
And as for Polian and the Colts, he's an arrogant SOB. What can you say?
Oh, did you read the thing on Pro Football Talk, Christian?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, wasn't that great?
Well, actually, I saw the interview with Eisen.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was just like, I'm like, you know.
Right.
The thing that really got me was what you alluded to yesterday, that we were tied with the Patriots for the most consecutive games win streak, and now we're by ourselves.
Right.
And then the other thing, well, you know, we got the most wins in the decade, and nobody can catch us there.
Right.
So those two things matter to you, but going undefeated, being the only, like, the third team ever to go undefeated during the regular season doesn't matter to you.
Both of those are fraudulent. One,
it's utterly ridiculous.
It's not the real record because ours includes consecutive games, including playoffs. And if you include playoff wins, we have more wins this decade than the Colts.
Sure, in the playoffs, yeah.
So, well, I mean, it's just he can't believe his own crap.
I've watched football, as you know, Fred, my whole life, and I could not possibly tell you who had the most wins in the decade of the 70s.
Of course
who
not.
Had the most wins in the decade of the 80s, who
no
had the
idea.
Most wins in the decades of the 90s. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I couldn't even venture a guess.
He's trying to deflect, and like all of a sudden the Colts fans are going, wait a minute. You're right. Yay!
Looking back on it,
that's the dumbest
what you
thing
just said,
ever.
Most people will assume in the 70s it was the Steelers, in the 80s it
was
the
90s. It may not be.
And you know what? in the 2000s, they're going to assume it was the Patriots because they were the team of the decade.
Right.
So they may be wrong, and they may come three shy or four shy, but he's not going to get the hype that he thinks he's got out of that big record.
And I also think that he's sadly mistaken, because I think most people are kind of like the three of us, whereas they don't really care about these nonsensical records. I mean, there are some...
They're from press releases.
When Tom Brady threw 50 touchdowns...
Casey O'Connell writes them.
When Tom Brady threw 50 touchdown passes in 2007, that to me was that was different. That was a special record. No one had ever thrown that many. Now, it's becoming a little bit less so because Manning had just broken it, and then he broke it, and guys are knocking on the door. Whatever. That to me is a special record. You know, 23 touchdown catches for Randy Moss. Special.
Right.
Most points ever scored in a season. Special, all right? But when you're talking about these things that have to be broken down from this...
Since week two or this.
Right,
you know... anything that this guy did this three times in a row.
Right.
One other guy did it four times. Who cares? Right. If you need a sentence and a half to explain it,
I was just
it's not that impressive.
Any record that includes that requires a clause in it, like since or when or you know,
reminds me of Willie McGinnis led the postseason with 0.82 sacks per playoff game or something ridiculous. Those are all stupid.
Could anything be more meaningless?
But I do think...
wins in a decade.
I do think that there is, though, something special and pure about a perfect season.
There is.
The fact that...
There is. I mean, you know, listen, obviously we didn't win the Super Bowl, but that was a special season. Do we not all remember the Giant game and the way the regular season ended?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that was we were on cloud nine, and I don't want to talk about it.
They
win the Super Bowl, the Colts. The Colts better win the Super Bowl, and if they don't, you know, look at what he did. Look at his play. You see the comments by Reggie Wayne alone. It's sick to his stomach.
It's his own fan base. This isn't, you know, look, personally, I'm thrilled that they laid down on that game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thrilled.
You don't have to take that banner down.
I'm not mad.
We could tell you were thrilled.
I'm not mad.
He was more. I'm telling you, Christian, Fred was so much more happy when the starters came out of the game than he was at anything that happened between 1 and 4 o'clock earlier that day. I can't even describe to you the difference.
But it's his own fan base that are pissed.
Well, and Christian, you just said they better win the Super Bowl. I think they're damned if they win the Super Bowl, too, because then the players are going to say, we could have been best team ever. We could have been 19-0.
We had Buffalo in week 16.
They're damned if they do, and they're
screwed.
Damned if they don't.
He screwed his own team. He did. He really did either way.
Yeah. Reggie Wayne is going to say we should have had the biggest Super Bowl ring ever that said 19-0 on it, best team in history.
This is what I talked about yesterday. I don't care about his decision, but what he should have cared about was how his guys were going to react.
Yeah.
And they're right. You guys are right. You said Reggie Wayne, Fred. He wasn't the only one.
Yeah.
If they win the Super Bowl, they're still going to say, what if?
Right.
It should have been better.
Right.
Yeah. And somebody else who's sick, by the way, on a last note, Strippers, who I beat for the championship in fantasy, Peyton Manning and Reggie Wayne to start us.
Wow.
And, all
the fantasy.
So you're the New York Jets of fantasy football.
I lucked into a win pretty much, that I was given a win, absolutely.
But
I got no problem admitting that, though.
Even worse, it was in the postseason.
Yeah, it was.
Wow. Win is a win.
What is a win? Happy New Year.
Okay, Christian.
Thanks, Christian.
All right, guys.
You too.
Take care.
See you, man.
Speaking of strippers, he says that Adam Schein said that David Harris was a snub from the Pro Bowl.
David Harris, good player.
But
I mean, I can't tell you.
It was Ryan's and Lewis, right?
Ryan's, Lewis.
Is there one more? Inside linebackers?
I can't think. I think they do three, but I'm not positive on that. Might only be two. I don't have the whole list in front of me. But
you know, we were talking about Jerod Mayo
there's
earlier.
There's a lot of good players that don't go to the Pro Bowl. Let's put it that way.
We were talking about Jerod Mayo earlier and about how he's been solid but not spectacular. And
tackling machine.
You know, and he hasn't really taken the step that even he talked about wanting to take. And, you know, I was going into the season hoping, okay, first year Defensive Rookie of the Year, second year Pro Bowl. And I don't think he came close to being – you know,
he was hurt. He missed time.
No, he did. Yeah, but
because his tackle totals
Welker missed the same. How many games did Welker miss? Two.
Two.
How many did Mayo miss?
Three, I think.
Oh, did he miss three? Okay.
But his tackle totals are climbing. He's not quite at the Welker where he leads the league after missing time.
Yeah.
But his tackle totals are climbing. He's moving up there league.
Yeah, but wouldn't you say that every middle linebacker in the NFL, pretty much starting middle linebacker, has about 100 tackles?
No, I know, but I'm comparing him. He's chasing. He's making up ground.
Yeah, yeah.
With 15 tackle games, he's moving.
Yep.
I want to say he's now, like, I don't know, moved into the top 20 or something after missing that much time. So I'm comparing him to Patrick Willis and D'Amico Ryans. And
well, he certainly had, I thought, a really active game, and maybe it's last week, and maybe it's just part of this whole new defense that we're seeing. Maybe Belichick's letting him loose a little bit more. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, it'll be interesting to see.
I think last week was he's a middle linebacker and he made the tackles.
Because I don't want to sound – I love Mayo. I think he – first of all, I like him personally a lot. And I think he's a very, very good player. But I can't remember one play he made last week.
I think I remember him a lot just plugging up lanes and keeping Maurice Jones-Drew in check. And that was his assignment.
I know, Fred. But we're talking about – the comparison we're making is London Fletcher can do that too. He's supposed to be Ray Lewis. I mean, the guy you're talking about, Paul Lyon, said he's already the bell cow.
They were calling him, by the way, a snub, too. I was
London
laughing.
London Fletcher.
Yeah.
Well, he is.
He called himself the Susan Lucci of Pro Bowlers.
And
he never makes it.
A lot of his people have made. They made an all out. They wanted him in the Pro Bowl.
Right.
Like, it was a media effort to get him in.
So obviously, there's more people out there like you and I, who aren't overly enamored with tackle stats.
But the issue is. Patrick Willis has 120 tackles,
plus
and four forced
things.
Fumbles, three fumble recoveries, two interceptions. You know what? If you look, they all have those crooked numbers, so to speak, in those columns. And Mayo doesn't have enough.
Now, I don't know
what
London Fletcher has this year because the team is terrible.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Attention,
but Ryans has made plays over his career. They're a little bit down this year. A lot of those guys, Cushing has had a really good year in that department.
Cushing made it.
No, I know, and he should have.
Yeah.
He should have. I mean, he's got like 10 passes defense, 4 picks, 3, you know, across
now,
the board.
4-3 guy, or do we miss him?
Cushing?
Yeah.
I think he's a 4-3 guy.
Yeah, but I think that if he's a good player, he could play.
Yeah, I know, but
system.
They're looking for 3-4 guys. I mean, I think Gary Guyton is a 4-3 guy, ideally, but he's playing in the 3-4. So
Mayo is tied for 40th in the league for tackles.
I thought he was higher than that now.
So. But he did. I mean, he missed a month.
Is that from Jesus?
From NFL.com.
Yeah, see, that's the other problem, too. I try to go by Jesus because it's the same thing.
See, to me, as long as those are all being tabulated the same, and I don't know the answer to that.
I never know.
Because I
well, how many
because the coaches are going to add 10
tackles do you think he has right
89.
Now? 89. This has him at 95.
Maybe he has 95. I'm only off by 6.
Yeah. No, but that makes a big difference because there's three guys tied at 40.
But
there's a lot of ties.
Right.
You know,
remember, though, that he got hurt in the first quarter of that first game. So he basically missed the whole first game, and then he missed the next three. So that's a whole month he missed.
Right.
Yeah.
And then.
And I'm not making excuses.
He rotated the next game, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't play full time against Denver.
So you're
first
talking
game
about.
He came back.
Four
Give
full
him a whole
games.
Month.
Yeah.
Give him a whole month that he missed.
Patrick Willis is the top guy with 147.
Do they have other stats there? Let me see those.
And D'Amico Ryans is always up there. I think he leads the league over the last. 3-plus years in tackles.
Patrick Willis, 10 passes defensed, 3 interceptions, a touchdown, 3 forced fumbles.
That's a productive
year.
That's what I'm talking about.
And by
about.
The way, 4 sacks.
Wow.
John Beeson, 3 sacks, 3 interceptions, 10 passes defensed.
That's what I'm talking
about. And a forced fumble, 2 recoveries.
That's what we're talking about, Fred.
London Fletcher, who does have 134 tackles, he's third. This is the last one I'll read. He has 2 sacks, 7 passes defensed, 1 interception. In one forced fumble. So not quite the crooked numbers that the other guys have.
Right. Because Mayo's in that ballpark. He's got a sack. He's got a forced fumble. Mayo's got a couple things.
Mayo has 1.5 sacks and 1 forced fumble.
Right.
No interceptions, no passes defensed.
That's the other thing. Who were we listening to yesterday? He's a coverage linebacker. No one pays attention
that
he...
I heard that.
He's in coverage a lot.
My boy said that. Lou.
Just so you know, if you're not a rush linebacker, then you got to be a coverage linebacker. There's only 2 jobs on passing downs.
Brian Cushing even has a safety.
Brian Cushing's had a great year. And the other guy has, too, by the way.
14 passes defensed, 4 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles, and 4 sacks.
Clay Matthews,
who's a pretty good rookie year,
is an outside guy, is having a good year, too, who I thought sucked.
Hey, what's this thing in the Rapoport today in the Herald about Adalys Thomas missing a tackle on Garrard and a face mask, or what's this all about? Did you read?
We got an email and asked PFW. Somebody said Adalys Thomas quit on the interception to Merriweather. Quit on the
that's
play.
The play, yes.
Blocking and then gave up, and Garrard made the tackle or whatever. I don't remember it. I didn't see it, so I can't.
Okay, he missed a block.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not missed it. Quit.
Well,
that was how the email was worded. He quit on the block.
The block would have been on Garrard.
Yeah, that's what it said.
See, that's
I'm going totally.
And I
want to
go
here.
Back and see it before I call someone out for quitting, because if I'm blocking on one of those plays and I get the quarterback involved, I'm erring on the side of caution.
Right.
I'm erring on the side of caution.
Didn't Wilfork get fined for that earlier?
He got not fined, but he got a 15-yard penalty in Miami for breathing on Chad Henne.
Right.
During a return.
During a return.
That's right. That was a terrible call.
Breathing on him.
Terrible.
Yeah. Terrible, terrible.
Yeah, didn't he just kind of pushed him a little bit.
Didn't even push him, just extended his arms barely.
And it was as he was getting tackled, so it wasn't even late.
Yeah.
And that's why on those kinds of plays, I err on the side of caution when the quarterback is involved. I didn't see it. Maybe it's a blatant quit.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I doubt it.
I'm not defending AD.
I am. I kind of like him.
I do, too.
I think he's...
That's not my point.
I don't think he's a great guy or a great player, but now I think it's going in the other direction. He's the worst guy that ever lived and the worst player that ever lived.
Just like
he's like a lightning rod for criticism.
You know what it's like? It's like Maroney. Maroney will have three games in a row where he gets, you know, 60 yards and a touchdown, and everybody will say, see, he's the greatest thing ever. And then he'll have a game where, you know, he averages 4.5 a carry and fumbles, and he's the worst player ever.
Well, you should read the blog.
He's getting destroyed.
When he makes a mistake, they kill him.
Right. Now, listen, I've been critical. I think the guy is what he is. I've given up. I think he is what he is at this point, and that, to me, is a dime a dozen NFL running back.
I think he'll be out of the league within 2 years.
I think that's all he'll ever be. But he's not the reason they lose when they lose.
Right.
And he's also not the reason they win when they win. And that's the way he's sort of perceived.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be out of the league, Paul, quickly, because I think he's not good enough at being Sammy Morris, at being a backup who comes in and has six carries and maximizes the carries. He clearly needs his touches. His confidence is an issue. It's like you have to coddle him and caress him to get 20 for 8. Right.
A lot of work for a backup.
He's not Randy Moss. Backup running backs are Sammy Morris's and Heath Evans, who do anything you want and wow you every once in a while with the ability to get 8 yards on some play that wasn't there. So I don't think he's going to have a long career as a backup and after the Patriots.
I don't know how you feel about this, Freddie, too, but Andy and I talk about this a lot. Like this year especially, we seem to be talking about this whole running back thing. We were just talking about it today. You know, the whole prototype thing is kind of antiquated. You know, you haven't, and I'm not talking about having only one guy, because you can have a prototype that's one of three guys in a committee. But I'm just saying, you're looking now, very few teams establish the run on a consistent basis where they're going to run the ball 35 or 40 times every week. I mean, there are teams that do it. Carolina does it, you know, but they don't run a lot. So what you need is home run hit. You need guys that Chris Johnson is, to me, like a prototype now.
Yeah.
You need a guy who in 20 carries or is 18 carries is going to hit a big play for you. Is Maroney that guy? Yeah. I don't think he is.
Yeah, he hasn't been.
I think Maroney's the guy, if you give him 20 carries, 25 carries every week, he'll start making big plays
for
you.
Yeah, he'll get about 4 yards a carry.
But his play per attempt has come down.
If he's only getting 8 or 10 carries, the chances of him breaking one, I think, are slim.
His rookie year, his big plays were higher
per
attempt or per whatever chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
Year, just the snow one, right? Yeah, he wasn't even going to play that day until Sammy Morris got hurt. It's kind of the opposite of last week, where Sammy Morris took his carries. Now, that was the day he took Sammy Morris's and hit that big play in the snow.
That's true.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Let's take a break. And when we come back, more of your calls and emails.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. Says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited, but only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Yeah, don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
He says, thanks for answering my first ever email to you. My dad had this hanging on a wall in his office regarding the rules of cricket. I hope it helps. You have two sides, one out in the field and one in. Each man that's in the side that's in goes out, and when he's out, he comes in, and the next man goes in until he's out. Then when they are all out, the side that's out comes in, and the side that's been in goes out and tries to get those coming in out. Sometimes you get the men still in and not out. Now, when a man goes out to go in, the men who are out try to get him out, and then he is out, he goes in, and the next man in goes out and goes in. There are two men called umpires who stay all out all the time, and they decide when the men who are in are out. When both sides have been in and all the men have been out, and both sides have been out twice after all the men have been in, including those who are not out, that is the end of the game. I get it now.
That's clear now.
Yeah.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, webradio at patriots.com. It's the email address, 508-543-7482. Talking everything Patriots here until 2 o'clock, and then John Rook will take over with Patriots Playbook. Let's see. Oh, on the phone right now, let's take a caller. Jim in Texas is on the line. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Fred. How you doing today? Great show.
I'm doing great.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's actually one of the more calmer, more focused, more cerebral shows you've had. I like it. Great questions. Personally, I don't know what London Fletcher's complaining about. I think the people that every year – when you pick an all-star game, in pretty much any sport, there's always four or five guys that get in that are deserving, and there's two or three you'd say, well, they're in a bag of about seven or eight other players that have similar stats. Cushing, I saw him play in the first game of the year. He's an explosive player. And looking at some of the stats, I can't believe he's got that many pass defense. He's D'Amico Ryan's a stud. So, you know, that's really much about nothing as far as the rest of it goes. As far as Maroney
we'll probably
goes,
end up playing when all the other guys decide they don't want to.
Right, and that's the other thing too, because how many people don't even go to the Pro Bowl? It's like, yeah, my back hurts. I think I'll pass, but I'll take the flight out to Honolulu. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and that's the problem this year. It's like, okay, so now because two, three don't go, you get to go. Now you only get to go to Miami. Most of these guys live down there in the off season anyway. So it's not even a big deal.
I think you should actually start a movement for the NFL to just nominate the top 25 or 6 players on defense and on offense and don't even play the game because the players don't even want to play the game. Give them all a free trip to Hawaii and say, God bless you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the Pro Bowl is probably, for the NFL, it's the worst of all the exhibition.
It is. There's no doubt.
Easily, by the way.
Yep.
I
don't know about cricket, but I would say that Yeah.
I was driving across the Texas Panhandle, and I'm sorry, the Florida Panhandle, when I first heard you that cricket explanation on one of your podcasts, and that is absolutely phenomenal. I was like, wow. They got cricket in that when those guys go out, and yeah, it still makes no sense. But I want to hit on Maroney real quick, though. That's just really too bad. I thought he had turned the corner this last couple of games. Because he had a yards rushing, which if he'd asked me at the beginning of the season, would he even sniff 500, I would have told you no. So I'm with Andy on that one. I think he's going to be out of the league in a year or two. If you fumble and you're a mediocre back, well, you can't stay healthy, you're not considered tough, and you're a fumbler, buddy, you're gone. Yeah, there's a lot of guys like that that are. Bobby Humphreys, one guy I can think of. Sammy Smith, another guy. They just fumble all the time. And you can't fumble the ball in a critical game against the Colts at the one-yard line and then cost your team a chance to win because that's points. And you also do the same thing in another critical game. Granted, last week the game was over a lot sooner, but it was the first drive of the game. At the one-yard line, first and goal, you can't fumble the ball. You're running the ball on first and goal from the one. Two arms on the ball. If there's nothing there, you're 6 feet tall. Fall forward at the waist, and you're a yard in. Yes. So, yeah, it's just like, you know what? I feel bad for the guy because I'm not going to pile on Lawrence. I hope that he somehow can rebound from this. I'm not sure he can. And finally, I'd like to say that I'm also agreeing with Andy. That's twice today. Well, that might be a first.
Means too. You're having a good day.
I probably am, Andy. You know what, though? Hats off to you. I don't want to pile on to Dallas Thomas. Think about this. Vince Wilfork got a roughing the passer call when the guy still had the football on Sanchez in the second game of the year. He hit him in the stomach with his helmet. So if I'm a Dallas Thomas and I see the it used to be that you threw a pick and eight guys hit the quarterback. That's the way Buddy Ryan coached it, really. If they threw a pick, he coached his defense. Everybody hits the quarterback that's near him. But now they're like, I was like, man, I ain't getting fined. And you don't want to get a penalty, a 15-yard stupid penalty. So I'm not going to kill him for that. I mean, you know, he is what he is. He played about as good a game as
right.
he could play.
I mean, really, let's be happy of the game he played. And come
they
on.
They won 35-7, and we're jumping on to Dallas. I mean, honestly, ask yourself this. What would you guys do if we lost?
Right.
We won a pretty convincing game. We played probably our best game since London.
Yeah.
And the most, I mean, Jacksonville
played
great.
A lot better than they did in London, I'll tell you that.
Oh, really?
Well, oh, yeah. No, they played a very, very good game Sunday. You know, I think it was the most complete game.
I don't think they played all that great in London,
they
actually.
Didn't.
One similarity would be the other quarterback giving it to Merriweather.
And Brady threw two picks in that game.
That's right.
I mean,
well,
both games hinged
really
on
limited,
gift
though.
Picks.
Well, I'll say this, though. Tampa was, at the time, a very bad
Sucky.
Football team. And I think Jacksonville is a lot better than... than certainly Tampa was then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
But they wiped them out. So,
yep.
Hey, guys, on to the playoffs.
All right, Jim.
Motivation, hoorah. See ya.
Hoorah. Thanks. Hey, I was just going over the playoff scenarios.
Oh, good.
There is, because of a certain tweak in it, there is a chance that Alabama could make the playoffs in the NFL.
I'm glad that you thought that was necessary.
Just so you know.
After Jim complimented us on having such a cerebral show.
I generally get a preview of these lame jokes in the car ride to or from the TV. Oh. Yesterday it was Buffalo. Wouldn't it be funny if there was a quirk in the system and the Bills made the playoffs?
Eric's here. Hey, Eric Freddie. Is in from the cold.
Yeah.
Were they outside today?
They were in the bubble today.
Oh, so it wasn't
Dana
that
Farber
cold.
Fieldhouse. It wasn't cold in there, no.
No.
It's very cold out there. Yeah, there's heat in there.
Was it on?
It felt pretty warm.
That's fine.
And that's
snow
what?
There's no heat in the stadium.
So they're playing, they're practicing indoors. Kind of replicate Reliant?
Yeah, in the warmer climate.
Yeah.
I don't know what
so
the temperature is
going to
be.
So tell us who
like
was there and who wasn't there.
Everybody but Brady and Moss.
That's the same
typical
as
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Same
shells
as
and sweats. Six black shirts, though. So good
go.
Week for the.
Let me guess.
Yeah, go ahead.
Brandon McGowan.
No.
Oh.
I'm out.
Kyle
Matthew
Arrington.
Slater. Yes, Kyle Arrington was one. Dan Connolly. Those were three active roster guys.
I missed it. Slater, Connolly, and who?
Arrington.
Yep. And then Thomas Williams, Bruce Davis, and
Darryl Bruce Davis.
Oh, that means he lost his belt, though, because I think last week Thomas Williams had the belt, didn't he?
Yes.
And we know the rule. If you
have
a belt,
you don't get a jersey. Right.
So were they in...
stupid rule.
Much like Jim
were
and
were they in just shells?
Shells and sweats.
Shells and sweats. And Wilfork was out there.
Yes, he was.
How'd he look?
He looked great stretching himself.
Right.
What? Okay. So everybody except Moss and Brady.
That's right.
You know, who needs them?
But it's Wednesday, and
right. Rather insignificant.
Maybe Bill is listening to me. Maybe they were at home with their feet up on the couch, as they should be.
Well, Mike Reese agrees with you, by the way. He thinks that's what they should do.
Yeah, but we're both going to be wrong, because I don't think Bill will do it.
Rest all the starters? Is that what he thinks?
No, he thinks Brady shouldn't even make the trip.
Yeah.
Shouldn't even make the trip.
Right. Mental and physical week off.
You have a possibility of coming home Sunday night and then having to play Saturday. So right. It's a chance that you have a short week, and you could get the jump on...
I like it.
On that mental perspective. I don't think he'll do it either. And I also think that there is an element. You do have a game to play. And if you're going to start Brian Hoyer and play him, what happens if he gets hurt in the first quarter?
You're going to see
Isaiah Stanbeck.
Or Jeff Rowe.
Well, no.
Jeff Rowe's not on the roster.
That's right. You'd have to make a move to get him on.
Right. And then that affects you for the playoffs. Right.
It does. That does. Yeah.
And if not, then I run the Wildcat like Paul wants to.
Yeah, there you go.
The entire
Walker.
Day.
No, you got Edelman and Stanback between the two of them.
Maybe you weren't listening, but Welker is with Moss and Brady back at the Brady estate.
Yeah, I'd be playing nobody.
So, any other news, Eric?
Nope.
In your travels?
Nope.
Anything?
Nope, not a thing.
Did you see any Chinese food in your travels?
I did not. I was looking around here and didn't see any.
It's coming. It's
coming. I'm going to miss out on the Chinese food.
Your loss is my gain.
It's coming from China.
Player availability will be at 2 o'clock today?
That's correct.
Is that correct?
With press conferences
from Will Fork. Three of
Welker,
the four
Mankins.
Pro Bowlers.
Brady will be tomorrow.
Okay. Cool.
Cool.
So you think there'll be a fifth Patriot? Because I think I read that Jairus Byrd probably not going to be.
There better not be a lot of guys Patriot, unless it's James Sanders.
Brandon
Merriweather is not a Pro Bowler.
I agree with you. I think that there might be enough fraudulent votes out there.
There are going to be more non-Pro Bowl Pro Bowlers this year than ever, because in addition to the guys that don't want to play and can't play, mm-hmm. there are going to be all kinds of guys that won't
Super
be
Bowl
allowed
guys.
To play because of being Super Bowl teams.
Eric, I actually think there'll be zero Patriots.
Oh, I see what you did there, Andy.
Unlike you, I didn't close the door on the dynasty.
Good, Andy.
Ago.
I think you'll be closer to 10 than the 4.
We did have an email speaking of that.
10. To 10.
Directed at Eric
Moss,
asking Eric, "Are you back on board?"
I'm still not convinced that they're going to win the Super Bowl. No.
How do you tell when he's on board or
but
not?
You give him
he's going to pick
them
every week. So.
Well, now if you're in the playoffs, you have a chance.
3 weeks. Now, see, 3 weeks ago you said they had no chance
you
and they were going to make the
door.
Playoffs. You said that was over.
I wasn't so sure they were going to make the playoffs 3 weeks ago.
Well, everybody else was.
Well, okay, good for everybody else. I wasn't. Now they're in. Obviously, they have a chance. I'm still not convinced that they're going to win at all.
But they have a chance.
I need to see more. Of course, they're in the
but
playoffs.
But you'll pick them every week.
No, I didn't pick them this week.
You did.
Well,
that's not fair.
Right.
If they were playing, you
first
would
time I haven't
them.
Done it.
You really are an FR.
At San Diego, will you pick them? At San Diego, will you pick them?
Yes.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Conditions on the ground could determine otherwise.
Just really. Like Fred won't criticize Belichick when he sits all those guys.
Well, let's see, Andy. If Philip Rivers and LaDainian Tomlinson and a bunch of other guys get hurt in the this weekend or between now and in practice leading up to that game, that changes the changes.
Okay, but
so
let's
you can make
assume,
all your extreme let, little hypotheticals.
Let's assume that the Chargers are as healthy going into that game as they can be.
Then I probably will pick the Chargers.
Probably. We'll see.
So right now, if you had a pick and they were playing this week.
Much like
they were playing this week
when we get to
San
the
Diego?
Hotel in Houston.
Yeah. Chargers.
And Fred actually sees Randy
that's
Moss
really
and Tom
what,
Brady.
That's really
said,
what the
see,
question
I'm fine
is.
Now. I'm fine, whatever they do.
That's really what the question is.
If they were playing this past week when everybody was playing, Chargers.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
I think you will pick the Patriots regardless of the conditions on the ground.
We'll see.
I do as well.
We'll see.
You've all already admitted that you pick what you don't think anyway. So, which explains why you're leading the league.
Because I pick what I don't think?
Right. You don't pick what you think is going to happen. You pick with your
like
heart.
George Costanza.
With this particular team, not with every other team.
You've gotten
Paul.
A lot of wins that some of us haven't gotten because...
Patriot wins, not other games.
You fluked into wins that you didn't think were going to happen.
Just with this team.
Answer the question.
Just with this team.
What day are you going to finish that Pepsi you just opened?
Yeah, jeez.
Fred, do you know who he drinks those over like a day?
No,
and a half?
I don't.
It's like a teat.
I don't.
A teat.
Last trip, we were Buffalo.
Milk that for all it's worth.
Well, Freddie, he had one of those 20-ounce bottles of Pepsi that
come
he got
on, Smosh,
the night before.
Damn rim shot.
And finished it at the game.
That's rim shot.
What's the matter with you?
He's got a little itty-bitty guy.
Why do you drink like that?
Why do you take like what?
Little bitty sips like that. Then you put the cap back on.
You afraid something's going to fly in there or something?
Yeah, there's a lot of filth in this studio, in case you haven't
noticed.
Well,
he's got to put the cap on so it maintains its fizz for the next 48 hours that he's drinking out of it.
No. The one I got in Buffalo was like three times this size.
No, it wasn't.
It was a normal
Do you ever gulp anything?
It was a 20,
take a big gulp.
Oh, he gulps stuff. That's not right, Andy.
Big swallows.
That's not right.
When you're in college, you ever play any drinking games where you had to chug?
No.
No? You're above that. You don't play those drinking games.
No, Fred. As I've told you before, there's a reason why I stayed away from those kind of things.
Why? I don't remember.
Well, when you know he gets serious, why do you have to?
But you know, Fred doesn't care.
Yeah, I know.
If
I
you
know.
Get serious, he compared a Super Bowl to losing a son.
There's no line. There's no shame. Anything. Nothing. No.
Calling out your people. The homers were embarrassed to be compared to you.
Yeah, why don't you read some emails?
As they should have, ripping you.
A lot of emails.
Eric Waring. What color would that? Would say that is?
It's gray, Fred. Gray?
It's not gray.
Yes, it is.
What else would you call
it's
it?
Gray. There's tints of blue in it, isn't it?
No, it's gray, Fred.
And it's a crew neck.
I think you might have tints of vodka in that Sierra Mist. If you think that's a blue sweater.
Yeah, you might want to start sipping like Ooh. Eric does.
Okay. Let's see. Webradio at patriots.com. Probably my blood sugar's down a little
Where's
bit.
The Chinese food?
Yeah.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Josh says, Andy for once does not suck.
You still suck.
In the spirit of the season, I just want to take a few seconds to reflect back on Andy's prediction that the Broncos would be a 500 football team. There was certainly a time when that seemed hard to believe, but Andy stuck with that call, and it looks to be right. Some good insight there, Andy. Even if your man crush Mendenhall sucks and can't catch a perfectly thrown 7-yard TD pass that hits him in the hands. Oh, nice one.
He dropped a touchdown?
I didn't see that. But
I guess.
That's just ridiculous.
So
other end of ridiculous.
But, you know, saying that they're going to be 500 when they were what, 5-0? That's
6-0.
6-0?
I don't know if anybody's kept track, but is this the first year that a conference has had every playoff team be a double-digit win team? No. Usually the wild card's like 9-7.
That's a bad assumption. I almost said something very stupid. I don't know.
Last time I got this book out, it was a fun game. What were we looking up? When I was reading it. 1 verse 3, 1 verse 7. Never have the two ones made it.
Salim from D.C. says, I'm writing to congratulate Tom Brady, Wes Welker, Logan Mankins, and Vince Wilfork for their great seasons and their selections to the Pro Bowl. Hopefully the Pats get to the big game and these players don't play in the Pro Bowl since it's before the Super Bowl. The
thing about Mankins is I don't think he's had much of a different season than he had last year. And he didn't make it last year. In fact, I think he has more penalties this year than he did last year.
Yeah.
He's actually leading the team in penalties this year.
But I don't know.
Hard enough to debate stats from one guy to the next. Especially when you're talking about linemen.
It seems your kind of reputation helps you each year.
Well, yeah, but last year he didn't get in. That's what I'm saying.
But he did the year before, right?
Yeah.
Right. That's my point. Like, how did he not get in last year and then he does
the
get in this year?
Yeah, I don't know.
Everybody was ripping the O-line.
Sacks were higher last year.
Although you could argue they rushed for a ton. They had like 2,300 yards rushing.
The sacks were high last year, even though it wasn't.
Sacks are low this year.
Even though it wasn't the offensive
line. Sacks are down.
They're down this year, even though that's not the result of the offensive line.
No. And last week he tried to give up a sack and Brady ducked the guy.
You tell me.
He went out his way to give up a sack.
What has changed?
Tom Brady.
Same guys.
But it even changed last year. They were way better the second half with Castle than when he had his deer in headlights look, he was costing them sacks instead of helping them out of them.
Right.
Brady has helped him out of them much all year.
LT from Adelaide says hello to the big head, the big nose, the big gut, and the big balls. what do you see as being the biggest weakness in the Patriots team moving forward into the playoffs? Which playoff team do you think would exploit those the most? We all saw the deficiencies in the Pats and the Saints game. Do you think that they have been fixed or just covered by other facets of the game? I would like to thank all of you for providing such great entertainment over the past year and look forward to a great 2010,
Woo!
Which starts off hopefully with a great January and February.
Pass rush, Manning and Rivers.
Yeah, I think that the pass rush is the biggest weakness in pass defense in general, and I think that it's been covered more so by the fact that they haven't played guys that can take advantage of that in the last 3 weeks.
Still think the third wide receiver thing is going to haunt them at some point, too.
Yeah, I do agree with you on that the offense can't cover up for the defense as well as they have been able to do in the past because they don't have that third option. I don't think you can just pencil in 38 points the way you used to be able
to
do. 35 points, 38 points. We can get in the shootout with this team and win. Yeah, that may happen. They may win a shootout, but I don't think you can rely
on
that.
You can pencil in 17 to 20.
The way you could back in the good old days.
I'm confident they'll score 17
points. But the problem
is... I'm confident they're going to win if they only score 17.
I'm not confident they won't give up that many either.
Right. Not against the team that can move the ball.
But I'm certainly not buying the Tully Bantakane explosion over the last couple of weeks or the pass rush improvement. I need to see it against legitimate tackles, legitimate offense, legitimate quarterback who can make adjustments.
And the quarterback, to me, is the most important thing because Breeze and Manning, those offensive lines aren't, rock solid.
No, but they're better than two rookies and
they're better than
some guy signed off the street.
They're better than Jacksonville and Buffalo,
right.
But they're gonna get out of sacks that the other guys can't do because they're just not as good.
I mean, they were
Matt Moore can't avoid the pressure the way other guys who recognize it beforehand.
And certainly not early in his career. Now, maybe he'll be better, but experience leads you to a lot of those.
Statistically, he's played very well
last
two games.
That win looks better by the week, according to Fred Kirsch.
That's right. Karen writes in. She
Karen.
Says, I watched the show on Tuesday evening.
Is this our PFW
show?
Attendant? I believe.
Oh, it is, I think. Karen Andrew?
I believe so.
Right.
What's her email address, Fred, and phone number?
Yeah, it is.
Why don't you get her social security
number? The trash talk portion. I started thinking about the 07 season and Tom Brady's hurt his foot. I don't remember what game it was, but I know it was right before the Super Bowl. I thought at first it would be great to have them all play to keep the momentum going, but then I started thinking about that foot injury. Now I'm not sure it's worth it. As usual, good program. Have a good trip to Houston. That was my first Super Bowl. I had good memories in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when did Brady hurt his foot?
I believe that we found out about it in the AFC Championship game.
Right.
Now, I don't know if that's when he hurt it. And we'll probably never
the
know.
Pictures of the boot in New York, when was that?
That was
that offseason, wasn't it?
No, that was the week before the Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
I believe it was the San Diego game.
No, it definitely was, but I don't know when he hurt the foot originally, is what I'm saying. Now, I don't know if that just happened in the San Diego game. It was between the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl.
Brady's
that
the
we
king
knew
of
about.
Injuries that pop. We find out about a month after or a season
yeah, that was,
after. Or
I think Jaws went back and looked at the footage and said that he found the play on which it happened.
I think Jaws is a clown.
Yeah, it was probably the same tape that he watched where he saw that Randy Moss was playing as hard as he ever did away from the ball.
But previously, the tape he had watched said Randy Moss was dogging it.
Exactly.
I sense sarcasm in Paul's voice.
Well, the roll of the eyes would have given.
But my point that
wasn't in his voice.
That I think that Karen's trying to make, and would it change your opinion, Freddie, if you found out? Freddie. And I think he got hurt against San Diego. I think that's when he got hurt.
Diago.
But would it change your opinion if you found out that he actually hurt his foot in the Giants game?
Nope.
And that cost you a Super Bowl.
Nope. That in that Giants game, he broke the touchdown record, and Moss broke the receiving
and
record.
It cost you a Super Bowl if he got hurt in that
but
game.
I still would have gone for it. Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, if the same thing happened the next year and he got
it. Now, it's unfair because you can't say, I know going in that I'm going to get my guy hurt.
Right.
But if I knew going in that I was going to get my guy hurt, I wouldn't play him.
Well, of course.
But you're saying you still would.
No. If I knew going in he was going to get hurt, no, I wouldn't. But that's kind of a.
I said, would it change your opinion?
It doesn't change.
Would you now wish that they didn't go for it?
No, absolutely not.
I do.
No, it doesn't.
Fred is cementing himself as records, and that
records
stuff
are important in Super Bowls.
That record is important. Not all records.
50 touchdowns, 20 throws. You said all those records were important.
I'm just saying, if he hadn't played that game, all those things wouldn't have happened. You know,
but they might have won the Super Bowl.
But they may have gone 19-0.
What do you mean?
If he hadn't played that game, they may have gone 19-0.
They might have won with.
I don't know if they would have won that game.
Now, again,
I don't know if they would have won that 16th game.
They may not have. Yeah. You don't know. But I would rather have had him healthy for the Super Bowl. Now, he got hurt. I think he got hurt against San Diego. I'm just making a hypothetical up here for the sake of the show.
Yeah.
I think he got hurt against the Chargers.
Yeah. Let's see. James from the UK says, been working crazy hours recently, so I haven't been able to comment on Fred's. If both teams were undefeated, I would support the Colts' lunacy. I was listening to that podcast and almost crashed my car. It might be the dumbest thing Fred has ever said.
Because he was on the
wrong side. There's a long list of those.
Please.
Yeah. He said something to close the show yesterday that was much dumber.
So after
a Super Bowl loss with the loss of a son. I mean,
people have said a lot of wrong things on this show, but that might be the
everything
wrongest.
Else is fighting for second.
How did the Super Bowl loss compare to the loss of a daughter? Does it matter?
Oh, that's all right.
That's an AFC Championship loss.
So, In China, they give him away. So after lowering my opinion
throw
of him.
Throw him in the river, don't they?
You are unbelievable.
So after lowering my opinion of him
with our food.
Completely useless over the past few shows, Fred pulled himself out of the muck yesterday and got right back on task with Polian. In my opinion, he is scared. Scared of going 16-0 and then not winning the Super Bowl. Going 16-0 really puts the pressure on. While it will always be remembered that the 07 Pats went 16-0, it will also always be remembered they didn't win the Super Bowl. Being just a 15-1, 14-2 team and not winning it just makes you any other number one seed who also didn't win the big one. Few will remember you. For me, Polian simply threw the game away to avoid the chance of making that special history good or bad. I think the entire organization is praying that since he gets the fourth seed, just so they will not have to face both us and the Chargers, a team which they cannot seem to beat.
There are a lot of layers to this. I mean, psychologically, you can always say if you won the Super Bowl, well, we could have been undefeated if we wanted it, but we chose not to.
See, I think what the Colts did was wrong because the players think it was wrong.
Right.
And that's why I think it was wrong. But
again, it's his job to think, as Rodney Harrison said, right. Big picture.
But this whole thing that I don't agree with, are you trying to tell me that people are going to forget about this 14-2 team or 15-1 team that didn't win the Super Bowl? This team is going to live in infamy forever for being the team that not only didn't win the Super Bowl, but didn't try to go 16-0. No one's ever going to forget that. He's cast himself as the ultimate villain for all time.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Because he did it on purpose.
Yeah. And the thing is, to
not
his
choke,
own...
They didn't choke. He did it on purpose.
Yeah. To his own fans, he's a villain. To us, he's just a laughingstock.
Right.
You know?
I agree with that.
But is he a villain if they win? And he just says, you know, we could have had the record, but we were worried
about
the
championship.
If they win,
that softens it, but I still think there's a stigma.
I think the stigma is as much with the players. Then I think they could have been the best team ever.
Yeah. Now, they'll have that with those what ifs, but if they win, he'll always be able to say, see, this was the right thing to do.
But see, I think that works more with fans than it does with the player.
Oh, yeah.
Whose ring doesn't say 19-0 on it, doesn't say perfection.
We started off the whole thing by saying he's screwed. Either way.
With the players, most of all.
In a way, it's fitting that happened, though, because when you look at this Colts team, do you really look at it and think, boy, that's the best team ever?
No.
When people looked at the 07 Patriots,
right.
People really thought, that's really the best team
ever. Well, that was up for debate, but possibly.
No, but
they were in the
discussion.
Blowing people
out. This team's not in the discussion.
Right.
Yeah. Eric's right. This team wasn't thought of as the greatest team ever.
But if they went 19-0,
they would have been. Right.
But yeah, there would have been.
Technically, they would have been, but
they are the greatest team ever.
They're not.
But here's the thing. You know, I was telling Andy in the car going to the show yesterday, somehow we have to get a camera on Polian during that first playoff game because he's going to be going berserk. Every call, he's going to be going berserk.
And that's why I want to somehow face the Colts. I want to be the four seed because I think the time to get the Colts is the first game. They're going to be tighter than a drum.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be the time to get the Colts.
Can you imagine that first bad call by the ref?
Yeah.
Polian's going to blow a gasket.
If they get to play Cincinnati in that first game, no matter how tight they are, they're going to beat Cincinnati.
Yeah. But
Cincinnati just doesn't have enough firepower to beat them.
I agree with you, Paul, but by the same token, if New England were the four seed and they ended up playing in the divisional round against Indy and they went up 24-6, would you be comfortable?
No, nope. It wouldn't be over. But
I mean, for the Patriots?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be comfortable, but I'd be... I would say if they go up 24-6 this time, you know, and I'm jinxing.
I'll write not a single word of my game story. I've learned that lesson twice.
I've been down this road before.
But Polian's gonna be feeling that like he's never felt any other game in his life.
But maybe they'll benefit from it this time.
Yeah.
Maybe this time the players rally against him, blow the bleeping doors off whoever, and he's the tight one and they're the loose one because they want to show him, you idiot. We're so good, we would have been undefeated. You effed up.
I mean, you can...
That's why I think there's so many, like,
there
mental
is.
Layers to
right.
this, how it's going to play out.
Yep.
But he did the decision that he thought was in the best interest of his football team.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can, too, at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of
Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, we are delighted to be visited by Kevin from Reading, who has provided us with a bunch of Chinese food today. Kevin, thank you very much.
No problem. It's a delight to be here.
So what brings you down other than bringing us Chinese food?
Well, I just wanted to come and see the show and see where all the magic is made.
Cool, cool. Well, we thank you for this. So I assume that the first thing you did when you walked in is said, hey, have you guys been talking about Pelion?
Yes.
So you read all that stuff on Pro Football Talk and everything?
Oh, yeah. I couldn't believe it when I read it. You know, the fact about, you know, they loved the fact that there was 23 consecutive victories. But they kind of left out the fact that there was a loss in between that. And they talked about, what was the other one he talked about? The going 100 in the most victories in a decade.
Right.
So I guess it was okay if Manning or Jeff Saturday or if one of those guys got injured playing for those records.
Right.
But you don't want to go for the undefeated season because the Dolphins already done that.
Even the most records in a decade is flawed because he doesn't include playoff games. If you include playoff games, the Patriots have more wins in the decade.
It's such a stupid, untenable argument. I don't know how he can.
They don't count playoffs.
The most important games that you play, he doesn't count. It's so stupid.
It's just unbelievable. But all right, we should get to some emails. And Kevin, if you want to chime in at any time, you know, feel free.
And later on, we have picks.
We have to do picks in about 20 minutes, too.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Tomash, I'll need your help with a few spreads because they're off the board according to Paul here.
Let's see. Nick writes in from London. He says, if Wes Welker can continue his recent form for a few more years, do you think he has a shot at the Hall of Fame? Obviously, Paul, he's a nice little player, Perillo, and Fred, with his absurdly high standards, will say no. So it's down to Andy, man of the people, as long as they don't have to talk to people, Hart. P.S., I wear nice sweaters, can't draw, and never show up to my work. Can I have a job at PFW?
Who's this moron that left me out of the equation?
What's that?
Who's the moron that left me out of the equation?
Did you hear that, P.S.? He says, P.S., I wear nice sweaters, can't draw, and never show up to my work. Can I have a job at PFW? Yeah.
See, he didn't leave you out. That's a clear reference to you.
Screw whoever you are.
What was it? Nick from London.
I think he would need at least five more elite caliber years.
I don't know if he's going to get them.
There's a couple things that hurt him.
He takes too many hits. He's going to run out of gas.
He'd have to have because he doesn't score a lot of touchdowns and have a lot of yards per catch, the amount of catches he'd have to have.
Well, plus, you know, he didn't have them in his first 3 years in Miami. If he had all those and all these Patriot ones, I think you could make the argument. But
now,
he doesn't have those.
He will gain if Moss retires and he stays and remains a 90-catch guy, 1,300 yards.
But I think Moss is part of the reason he is a 90.
Yes, I know.
Guy.
That's why I'm saying he will gain big time in Hall of Fame stature if he can do it without Moss. Right now, people think he's a byproduct of Moss.
Yeah.
But he's going to be here after Moss is. There's no questioning that. Well, virtually no questioning that.
So
if he can do it without Moss, he'll get big boost.
But I don't think he'll be able to do it for enough years to qualify.
But that's your opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll be able to do it at all. I think he'll drop down to be a 60-catch guy.
Probably.
Who's averaging 10 yards a catch. That's only 600 yards a year with two touchdowns. All of a sudden, you're a Jag third receiver. No offense to him. But I think he is a
nice little player.
Nice little player who benefits greatly from Moss. Maybe we'll be proven wrong. But nice little players don't go into the Hall. I mean, plus, there's a lot of big numbers in this era. Like, you look at Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, Marvin Harrison. Are all guys that are going to have huge numbers when they retire or are already retired.
And they're going to be fighting with each other for first ballot.
And that doesn't even count Moss and Owens, who are two Lock Hall of Famers.
Yep.
And then the next generation of Larry Fitzgerald,
Andre Johnson,
Chad Johnson. Yep.
Maybe Calvin Johnson,
I mean, look at,
if he keeps
everybody
poo
poos Chad Johnson now. He led the NFL in receiving yards
for three or four straight years.
He's 1,400
I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, but also the issue isn't just who's a Hall of Famer, it's what is a Hall of Fame receiver in this era, in the era of multiple 4,000-yard passers every season, multiple guys with 120 catches every season.
I suppose you could make an argument that maybe the NFL is going to include not really a new category per se, but the slot receiver is going to become a Hall of Fame type position.
And also playing into that would be, A, had they won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, B, do they win a couple, you know, do they get in this year and win when maybe he's a key player and has 13 catches for 138 yards, if he does what he did last week. But there's a lot of, he needs a lot of boost. He's not just going to get in easy based on a couple more years of 100 catches. It's not going to happen.
As a Patriot Hall of Famer?
Oh, he's a lock.
I think he's a
lock. He's already a lock.
Yeah.
He'll, you know, fall in the Troy Brown wing of the Patriots Hall of Fame.
There's no way he gets in.
Wait a minute. You say Welker is a lock for the Patriots Hall of Fame?
Yep. I think so.
300 catch season, the 1,300 yards season?
I don't think so.
Well, you're wrong.
He'd have to do this for a couple more seasons and or win a Super Bowl with the team. That's what I think.
So then Randy Moss isn't a lock?
No, he isn't.
Oh, come on, Fred. Okay.
If you're going to use those standards, then.
Yeah.
Randy Moss isn't a lock for the
Kevin stunned over here. He almost swallowed the microphone.
Well, one thing, though, Randy has done is score a lot of touchdowns.
He also has the best season receiving in Patriots
history. That's what
I'm
saying. So I think that would give him a little edge over Welker.
Moss needs to play two or three more years as a Patriots, I think, to be in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Really?
Yeah. I think at this point he's...
I mean, should Corey Dillon be in the Patriots Hall of Fame?
No, because he didn't do enough.
He helped
them
win a Super Bowl.
He did, but he didn't do it. He did it that 1 year, and he didn't do enough in the other 2 years. Moss has been consistently good.
They both have. They both had three great years.
But I think,
and together they elevated Tom Brady to the greatest year of his career and the greatest offensive season ever seen by a National Football League team.
To be in the Patriots Hall of Fame, I think, Fred, you had said you didn't think Troy Brown.
No, well, I went back on that.
Okay.
I was mistaken.
All right.
Yeah. He always goes back on his dumb statements.
Yeah.
All
right.
But I think I
can admit when I'm wrong, unlike some other people in this room.
I think he
was looking at you when he said that.
There's the both. You need longevity plus the great numbers. Moss has the great numbers. He just needs, say, another two more years, and then I would say he's a lock.
I'm not sure he's getting in the Patriots Hall of Fame then, if that's true.
I don't know if he's going to. I don't know if he's going to last.
I don't know.
Does he have one more year?
He has one more year under contract.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't either.
Paul in London says, hey, men of PFW, and not forgetting Eric, just a few over-unders for Sunday. Matthew Slater receptions, 0.5.
0.5.
Over.
Yeah, over.
Brian Hoyer snaps, 80% of the snaps.
Over. I'm going to stick with what I want, so I'm going to say over.
Overreactional comments on the Kirsch Words blogs, 10.5.
Oh, over. Please.
Edelman reception, 7.5.
Over.
Over.
Patriots passing TDs, 1.5.
Under. Yeah, under.
Times Andre Johnson beats Wilhite Butler, Wheatley, or Arrington, 10.5.
What do you mean by beat? Catches?
I guess.
Andre Johnson? Probably under. Be matched up on Sean Springs, so I'll say under.
What if he doesn't play much?
Who? Sean Springs?
Yeah.
Why would Sean Springs not play? You're fixating on Sean Springs getting the week off. He had a month off.
Happy New Year, guys. Let's hope for a prosperous Patriots New Year. If we win the Super Bowl, then I'll buy you the biggest lunch you ever had.
Wow. Who's this?
So we got that going for us. Paul from London.
Paul, I'm penciling you in because I think there's a chance.
Tim in Baltimore, one story I can't believe nobody is talking about is that Bernard Pollard will be on the field Sunday. What are the odds that a player that wins the MVP gets injured by a player the first game of the following season and then gets to play that very same player the last game of the next season?
That's a good point.
Part of me doesn't want to tempt fate and keep Brady away from him, but I also would like for Brady to throw an interception at him on purpose so Brady could take a shot at his knees, stand over him, and say, oops, sorry.
The guy didn't do it on purpose.
No, he didn't.
So, I mean, that's...
I don't want Brady hitting anybody.
And I know he's probably being a little facetious there, but you don't want to get him involved in any of that.
Steve in Edmonton writes in, I'm traveling 2,000 miles to see this team play in Houston, and I want to see a Moss touchdown. Rest Wilfork and Warren, but play the starters for the first half at least.
You might want to change your travel plans to the following week.
I would like to meet you guys if possible. I'll be there from the 2nd to the 5th. Will I have a chance to buy you guys a drink? I realize you'll be busy, so whatever happens, happens. Take care, fellas, and tell Doc to send me his email so I can send him what he needs to get you lunch. Oh, there's another person.
Get on that.
Yep. When all else fails, webradio at patriots.com.
So that's nice. Let's see what else we got here. Web radio at patriots.com. Strippers writes in and says that Adam Schein, I don't know if you guys listen at Sirius NFL radio, he says that Matt Schaub has had a better year than Tom Brady.
It's arguable.
It's statistically arguable. I agree with that. But
Brady has more touchdowns. Schaub has fewer interceptions.
In the postseason, he won his division. He came back from a major injury. I think that plays into your voting mind, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it would for me if I were casting a vote.
Yeah. And,
is Brady a lock for comeback player of the year?
I think so.
Those awards are just,
I'm just asking.
But I think he's the biggest name guy.
I really don't know. That's why we've had these arguments.
But he's the biggest name guy. He was coming off an MVP season. He got hurt. He was out. He is a lock.
He's a pro bowler.
Freddie's a lock.
Okay.
Kevin. He's the anti-Paul. Says few words from that microphone, but they're definitive.
Kevin from Reading. Stephen Ames says, if Baltimore wins at Oakland, it looks like we will be playing Baltimore in the first round in all the scenarios except if we lose our strength of victory tiebreaker over Cincinnati.
They would have to gain 5 games on us in that tiebreaker to win it, which is only possible if Cleveland beats Jacksonville and Pittsburgh beats Miami.
I know. There's so many.
I would rest some players and lean preparation heavily toward Baltimore. I hope the league gives Cincinnati a break for playing late Sunday and gives them the Sunday playoff game. We would then get Baltimore on Saturday after just playing at Oakland on Sunday. This would also allow us extra time for the next round's game also. I would really prefer to be the fourth seed and play the well-rested Colts right away rather than after a long trip to San Diego, but we most likely need Cincinnati to play to win against the Jets for that to happen. I know I'm assuming Baltimore will win here, but please correct me if I'm wrong on these conclusions. Either way, it's great to be back in the playoffs again with Brady playing and Belichick coaching.
I think we made the point earlier about wanting to, whether or not we wanted to face the Colts in that first game.
I do.
Their first game of the playoffs. And I think I kind of agree with that, Fred. I think I'd want to face the Colts right off the bat.
I'd rather face them for,
only for the traveling.
That's the main reason. That's the main reason. But if anybody's going to knock them off in that first playoff game for them, boy, if it was us.
Boy, yeah, that would be
I just want to see Polian just jump from the top of the Lucas Oil field.
Just end it right there.
Yeah. That would be worth it. Plus, I don't know about you guys, but San Diego scares me. I think they've got
they're playing great.
I think the Colts, they've got you have Manning and you've got what's the wide receiver there? Here's my
Wayne.
But other and of course Dallas Clark, but their second and third receivers don't really scare me. The San Diego, they can throw about 3 or 4 dangerous guys, almost like the New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And I would rather play them at the AFC Championship, because at that point LaDainian will have some type of injury, mm-hmm. and he'll be sore and he'll take about 2 snaps and he'll leave the game.
And there's always a possibility that San Diego loses too at some point in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And if we're the 4, that means we'd have to play Cincinnati most likely.
Yes.
If we got through those other two games. So, and the way Cincinnati's playing, I don't put too much faith in that. Where would you rather go first weekend? Second weekend of the playoffs? Indy or San Diego?
That's a tough question.
Really?
San Diego.
You'd rather go to San Diego first?
I put it this way. If I'm a Chargers fan, I still don't trust my team. I don't trust my quarterback. I don't trust my coach. And I don't trust my team. So I think the Patriots have a better chance of going out there and beating the Chargers and continuing on to postseason than they do going to Indy and beating the Colts.
Really?
Because I think the Colts are going to be fired up as players to get everything done, to make sure they didn't sit and then bow out of the playoffs. I think they want to show Poley and how great they are. I think they want to be clicking. And more importantly, they own the Patriots lately. If they go down, what we talked about earlier, if it's 24-6, you feel like the Colts are still in it. Manning feels unbeatable.
It's funny that you say all that. I just opened up my fortune cookie. Chocolate ones, actually, we got. And what does my fortune say?
Go to San Diego.
Believe in miracles. How appropriate is that, Fred?
But that could also mean meeting a girl, too.
He couldn't wait. You see how he rushed to get his headphones on?
He jumped back up on his chair, put his headphones on.
You're the most evil person on this show.
Way
Fred.
More evil than me.
I think so. I think you've taken it, especially since you want to go killing sons.
I thought we were
to replace them with Super Bowl
If it's
victories.
True, we're allowed to say it.
You have had a bit of a dry spell.
I don't know.
What, since he was born? That would be a dry
Sahara
spell.
Sahara Desert's had a bit of a dry spell, too.
All right, you're moving back up, Andy.
At least they get rain like once every 2 years.
Let's see. This is Rich.
More rain than the Sahara Desert.
and this is to Eric. Regarding the comment made Tuesday mentioning you're having given up on the franchise, I wanted to be the first
Tuesday.
To say that you don't fool anyone. No one believes you would still get up and go to work for the franchise you've given up on. After all, we've all seen the other 31 teams that you could work for, and everyone knows that they ain't got blank on us. We all know, heard, you have the audacity to doubt Belichick, but we also forgive you. It is a privilege to have you back on the team. In Belichick, we believe. We usually get rewarded in February, as you remember.
Is this person drunk? I wasn't on the show Tuesday, first of all.
It's not a privilege to have Eric back on the team.
I don't know what the hell this is. That was a rambling, incoherent email. No idea what he was talking about.
We are all dumber for having heard it. I wasn't really listening, so that was just a joke.
I'm just overwhelmed with the Chinese food I'm eating. Kevin put together a nice...
The bottom line is...
Fortune cookies are good.
Mandarin Redding.
Mandarin Redding does a nice job.
Yep.
Good lo mein, good
chicken.
The bottom
line, Eric, is he's not buying you're giving up. He doesn't buy it.
I don't either. It was reverse psychology or something.
Yeah.
It wasn't reverse psychology. You honestly tell me you were looking at that team and how they were playing a few weeks ago and you thought that that was a Super Bowl caliber
team. I'm honestly telling you, you don't be honest with us.
But the point is...
I was being honest with you.
No, you weren't.
The point
you're not
is,
even being honest with yourself.
The point is, having followed this team...
Why are you talking so fast? Again?
You should know better.
You should know better.
That isn't the team
that
they would be at the end of the season. You should know better.
Looking at that roster, did you honestly think that the caliber of play that you were seeing was worthy of a Super Bowl champion?
Looking at the roster, sure.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. What's wrong with their roster?
It's devoid of playmakers for the most part.
Oh, okay.
They still have Moss and Brady and Welker on offense.
Oh, you just named three guys that any team would take.
There's a defense, Fred. There's a whole other half.
Yeah, defense hasn't been the problem this year, Eric.
It has. In the three big losses in the second half of this season, yes, it has.
No, we all said at the beginning of the season the offense is going to have to win some games. That Colts game was one of them, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, the Miami game was another one,
okay.
And they didn't do it.
That's right.
The New Orleans game was another one,
well,
and they didn't
the
do it.
The New Orleans game, you throw that out the window because they just that
and the Broncos
was,
game was another one, that, and they didn't do it.
Right, the offense didn't do it.
Neither did the defense because they gave up leads.
I'm just saying that there's only so much we expected out of the defense.
I expected more out of the defense when they went out and made the signings of Bodden and Springs, and they made trades for guys like Burgess, and there was talk about getting other players, and then they signed Paris Lennon. They look like they made a lot of upgrades
right.
like they did
and what's
for the
problem,
offense
what's
2 years ago.
What's the main problem on the defense?
Pass rush.
It's not Lee Bodden or Sean Springs or the improvement of Merriweather or James Sanders. It's the pass rush.
That's a main problem, but they also got rid of...
Seymour?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which had a ripple effect
sure.
on the defense.
Sure, but...
As a whole.
I don't think the talent on this roster is the problem. It's inconsistent play, and we're hoping we're seeing that turnaround here. But you know,
inconsistent play because of the quality on the roster.
No. I disagree. I mean,
all right,
fine. I mean,
we can agree to disagree.
I mean, there's a couple teams that are talent laden, like the Cowboys. You know, I don't know if they're that much better than the Patriots, although they have a lot of star power.
All right, let me ask you this: which defense would you rather have, this year's or 2007's?
This year's, absolutely, without a doubt.
Really?
Yep.
You would swap this defense for the 12.5 sacks that Mike Vrabel
we
had
all
in 2007?
We all said that the
you'd
offense...
You'd swap Bodden or Springs for Asante Samuel?
We all said that
you'd
in 07...
Swap Brandon
Harrison.
McGowan for Rodney Harrison?
We all said that in 07...
You'd swap
the offense,
Gary Guyton for Teddy Bruschi?
The offense covered up a lot of that defensive problems in 07.
But I'm saying, which defense would you rather have on the field, this year's or that one?
You couldn't have got that answer more wrong.
In 2006?
What Seven. Was, 2007.
No, in 2006, we saw the signs of a deteriorating defense.
We started to see that a little bit, yes.
In 2007, the offense covered it up. And in 2008, it was gone.
You were talking about playmakers. And so I was making the point, which defense would you rather have for playmakers, this one or 07?
I'd rather have a couple of the guys from that defense. But as a unit for team defense, I'll take what we got.
Really? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, Fred. I'll take the 12.5 sacks from one player.
Yeah. Who would you rather have, Teddy Bruschi right now or Gerard Mayo?
Mayo. Comeback.
Teddy Bruschi from 07?
Yeah.
I'll take Gerard Mayo then, because Teddy Bruschi wasn't making any more plays
than
Gerard Mayo was.
Yeah, but some of the key ones. You
but
had
some of the other ones.
A 12.5 sack guy. And don't tell me that he and Tully Bantakane are the same, because Bantakane could get, say, a sack and a half this week.
Them,
he'll be 11.
But it's not the same.
Not
thing.
Only did he have 12.5 sacks, do you remember that Pittsburgh game when he owned Willie Colon and probably had five quarterback hits that day, even though he never got a sack?
You guys are
Mike Vrabel had a very good year.
I know,
year.
But you guys are forgetting. Oops. I just spit up on my mic. You guys are forgetting everything that we said about 07 and about how the defense was covered up by the offense.
We're not forgetting that. You made the point about the team having playmakers. And I was just saying,
right.
are there
more
playmakers on
defense.
That defense or this
Richard
one?
Richard Seymour was on that one.
I'm talking about you saying you? How can you look at this year's roster and think that there'd be any good? I just think that's absurd.
Looking at how they played a month ago.
That forget it. How they played was under their level, was not up to their potential. I agree with you that how. But that's not what you said. You said, how can you look at the roster? That's not the same as how can you look at how they played and think that they would turn it around.
Looking at the roster going into week one, they didn't have those half dozen guys that I mentioned that they had in 07, and those were better playmakers overall than the guys who replaced them.
Well, I don't know what you're talking. You know, all I know is that on this show we talked about the deterioration of the defense.
Yes, we
that
did.
They had to revamp
yes,
it.
Yes, we did. And but I don't know if they've revamped it.
And that going into this year, we were all excited about getting Lee Botten and getting Sean Springs and the second year of Gerard Mayo.
Fred.
And Wilbrick is still here and Warren is still here.
The caveat is we were excited about that because we didn't have the guys who they're replacing.
And I don't think we've been that disappointed.
Fred, the problem you guys are having is what you were comparing each group to. The 07 group was compared to the 03-04 teams.
Right.
Because
which
it
was
unfair. Fading. It
right.
wasn't as good.
Right.
This group, we're now saying, was compared to last year's, which sucked.
Right.
Last
mm-hmm.
year's defense was horrendous.
Right.
It was.
So this year's group, we were hoping for an improvement from
last
sucky.
Year.
And I think we do.
We weren't thinking we were getting back to 03-04 dominance.
No.
We were hoping we were going
not.
In the right direction.
But that wasn't the question. His
right.
His question
so
was,
how
can you look at this roster and think that they were going to be good?
Compare last year's defense and the 07 defense.
I'd say 07 was a little better.
Right.
Right.
07 was better. So you have to change your comparisons.
Right.
The bottom line is Eric is right here. The playmakers were better on the 07 defense.
But what does that mean toward
Rodney
the
Harrison,
defense as a
Asante
whole?
Samuel,
look, I'm not going to say that Asante
Seymour and
Samuel,
Mike Vrabel were playmakers.
I can't say that Lee Botten or Sean Springs were better than Asante Samuel. Obviously, Asante Samuel's
how about
better.
Mike Vrabel?
Mike Vrabel,
but that's
Richard
not what you
Seymour.
Said. You said, how can you look at this roster and think that they would be any good going into the playoffs? That's what you said.
I don't think I said it exactly like that, but what my point was there were more playmakers. I'd rather have the 2007 defense and those playmakers than this defense.
I know, but what does that have to do with this year, Eric?
Because we're comparing which
no,
team.
No, we're not. We're evaluating their chances this year. That's what we're doing. We're not comparing to any other year.
And
what are their chances this year with the personnel that they have?
Not as good as they would have been. If they had the playmakers that they had in 07.
But it wouldn't be as good if they had the 85 Bears defense. That's not the point. I'm talking about the roster that they have now.
I don't think it's good enough.
Do they have a chance?
Well, if they're in the playoffs, so yes, they have a chance. But that's not a good
chance.
And
by looking at the roster, that's why I think they have a chance. That's why I don't think they have a chance. That's what you said.
I'm not
comparing to any other. And we have to stop this nonsense of constantly comparing to 07 and 04 and comparing the defense to 03 and 04. Compare this team to other teams in the NFL. That's the valid comparison. Not to old Patriots teams, to the competition that they have to play this year in the NFL. Other than the Jets and the Pittsburgh when Polamalu's playing, they've got as good a defense as any other team in this league. Period.
I don't know if I agree with that statement.
Well, I don't agree with that statement.
Who's better? You have to think about
Minnesota.
It. Not now. Maybe earlier.
I
they
think
peaked.
They're better.
They peaked.
They may
have
peaked.
I think New Orleans.
I think Green Bay.
New Orleans has had a better defense this year.
Green Bay might be better.
Do you guys think Pittsburgh? Take Pittsburgh. Everybody here probably agrees Pittsburgh has better defense personnel. But
But without Palomalu, they're a different defense.
But Pittsburgh's defense this year, I think I would take the Pats over Pittsburgh's defense.
But the problem is their secondary has been terrible without Palomalu.
Yeah.
And they haven't got to the passer like they have in the past.
I don't know. James Harrison's got 10 sacks and Woodley's got 11
and a half.
Guys have 21
and a half
sacks.
I thought the second half of the season.
I would take it here.
Yeah. Well, I would definitely take Palomalu.
Two guys with double-digit sacks.
I would take James Harrison here.
Yeah.
I would take Lamar Woodley here.
My point is that other than three or four teams, the Patriots are probably like five. I mean, I think
they're fourth in points scored, I think.
Fourth in points scored. You know, and defense is all about points scored. You know, we made fun of them in 07 when they were like number one or two. But again, that was a lot of because of the offense. But facts are facts. I think that there's not the dominant defenses, there's not any of them.
But I think there are more high powered offenses that they could face this year than there were in 07.
That's where I agree.
There's two.
Let me change.
San Diego and the Colts.
Well, the two teams you have to
go
through.
The Saints don't have a high powered offense.
I'm not worrying about the Super Bowl until we get there.
But Fred, do you have the confidence?
I'm talking about getting there.
That these defensive players can make the play that needs to be made. Because I don't yet.
I've seen potential. I don't know.
That's
but
where
you
I'm coming
say,
from, Fred. I'm agreeing
no,
with
no.
you.
You, I don't, you said, looking at this roster, how can you say
well,
that they have...
He's fixated on this.
But what I'm asking is, will Brandon Merriweather and James Sanders make the same plays they made Sunday when it's on the line in San Diego?
Against a good team.
We'll see. I don't know.
I don't know either, Fred.
That's why I don't have the confidence in this team.
But do you have... See, and that's the problem is, though, that... Forget, again, do not compare them against other years. Compare them against the competition they'll be going up. Yes.
Yes. All right, I'll do that.
Peyton Manning, if you know, with the way the certain times the Patriots defense has played, Peyton Manning and Phillip Rivers will shred them.
Okay.
Absolutely shred
okay.
them.
Well, what about Baltimore? Right.
But what about right. the Patriots scoring some points?
Well, okay,
they've
Fred.
They've got an offense, too.
Fred, hasn't
been consistent enough.
I'll honor.
No, it hasn't.
I'll honor your request.
Honor my request.
Yep.
Thank you for your service.
Okay, I'll put this defense up against the Indianapolis Colts. Well, they've already played them this year, and I know how they fared against them. I'll put this defense up against the Denver Broncos. Well, they've already faced them, and I know how they did against them. I'll put them up against the New Orleans Saints. Well, they've already faced them this year, and I know how badly they played against them.
Okay.
So all the good teams that they played against, even the Baltimore Ravens, which a game they won that they should have lost.
Okay.
I put them up against them, and guess what? They didn't play too well. So therein lies my lack of confidence against the teams that they could face in the playoffs.
They scored 34 points against the Colts.
Yeah, but it wasn't good enough because the defense gave up 38.
I thought you were arguing defenses. Why'd you just bring up points?
No, you said offense when you first started.
No, he meant defense.
I was talking
about
defense.
They allowed 35 right. points in Indy. They got blown out of the water in New Orleans. They couldn't stop them when they needed to in
Denver. I think the defense has improved.
Yes, but in all of the games that they've played against these good teams, they've played badly and lost. So therein lies my lack of confidence in them going forward.
They gave up 17 points in regular time against the Broncos. I'll take that any day. I'll take it.
I'll take it any day. The offense scores more than 17.
Exactly.
But they didn't do it that day.
But, Eric, see, that's what we thought going in, is that the offense would score points. That's the letdown this year. It's not the defense. It's the offense.
So you're telling me the offense is to blame for the meltdown in Miami? The offense is to blame for,
yes!
for letting Robert Mitchum go unmolested to the end zone 75 yards later?
They scored four.
The what? Offense is to blame for,
Eric,
for Peyton
Eric,
Manning throwing two touchdowns
Eric,
in the final
Eric,
4 minutes of the
what
game.
What about the second half meltdown? What about scoring 7 points in four games in the second half? That's the offense you expected from the Patriots?
No, it's not, but I also didn't expect the defense to give up big leads
Eric,
to these teams.
Eric, please. 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 It's the offense. If you're going to pin the blame, the majority of the blame, on the fact that they're 11 and 5 or 10 and 6, whatever they end up being, most of it has to go on the offense.
Fred, I wouldn't say most of it. I would say it's an equal distribution this year. An equal distribution.
No, I would say the majority of it goes on the offense. You expected a Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Tom Brady offense to bail out the defense once in a while, and it just hasn't.
He's kind of right there.
I
actually agree with both of you, because I don't think the defense has the playmakers where I'm ready to say they're going to do it against Rivers or Manning when they need to. But the offense also hasn't been able to get a first down the many times where a first down would have won them the game.
Mm-hmm.
They put more pressure than they should have on the defense.
I think there's an equal amount of blame.
So you're both kind of right. So you say right, Eric.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Okay,
right.
No.
Now you
say
right.
Now we've just had a Paul and Fred type argument.
What was your synopsis going into the season about the defense?
Freddie, don't forget we have picks.
I did want to bring that up. We all thought, and I don't think it was just me, I think we all thought the defense would be better in December than it would be in
exactly.
But how it's gotten there has not been
a gradual,
systematic growth. It's been bumpy.
Right.
And I think that's what leads us to believe, and is it good?
Right.
Or are we on an upswing right now and the downswing is going to come the first game in January?
But even going into the season, we all felt, like you said, it would be better. And why?
But it's not better because the reason
right.
we thought it would
be. But why would it take time?
We're putting
a lot of new players.
Secondary.
Exactly.
And
a lot of new players.
Darius Butler is inactive. Terrence Wheatley's inactive. Jonathan Wilhite has been demoted.
James Sanders reclaimed his starting job.
There's
been a lot
of
moving parts.
You know, I thought Butler would be good at this point, and he's not playing.
I thought he might even been a starter at this point.
Right. And Will Hight, I thought, would be better at this point, and he's been demoted to, you know, nickelback.
Well, I like the idea that Sean Springs, for whatever reason, is back in there
I
playing.
Do, too.
I like that.
Is it because of a lack of growth in the young players that you projected that didn't happen?
I don't know, but he's looked so good.
And is Merriweather as good as he was early in the year? No.
Well, it's hard to say.
I think he was bad early in the year when everybody was
Never liked him, but I think he's playing pretty well.
And let's not forget, they're having success against not very good competition. If they were doing this against better competition, I'd feel better
Last
about
week
it.
You played a playoff caliber team.
Yes.
With a quarterback who's relatively
accurate.
The Jaguars
scored 31 points the week before against the Colts.
Yes.
They're the top team in the AFC in third down conversion.
But against Buffalo, against Carolina.
Against everybody they played this year.
All right. Are we going to do picks?
Just one quick breaking news. Mike Leach has been fired by Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Mike Leach fired Texas
Tech. What's going on there?
He just signed an eight-year contract.
Is this all because of Craig James getting them in trouble?
No, it sounds like he lost his mind. And I think part of it is also it's a hot-button issue. Craig James' son had a concussion, and Mike Leach put him in a closet and an electrical closet, a room, and treated him strangely. Sounds like Mike Leach lost it. I've always thought he had a little bit of that wacko mad scientist thing going on, and I think that overtook him at this point.
Okay.
Now we're just going to not do a break because Tomas is behind there flailing his arms.
All right, I had to straighten Eric out.
His dad's been trying to do that for years.
Oh,
what's wrong with you?
He's a bad.
What's wrong with you?
On me. God, he's been trying to correct you because
you're an idiot. Shut up.
Wow,
Tomas, we need three spreads. Indy at Buffalo.
That's all it would take to straighten you.
New Orleans at Carolina. You're writing these down?
Here's my fortune.
Pittsburgh
for my
at Miami.
Cookie.
I didn't get one. Go ahead.
Benefit by doing things that others, read Eric, give up on.
Wow.
What's that?
Benefit by doing things that others give up on.
Oh, okay.
You gave up.
And mine was believe in miracles. So maybe there's a groundswell in the...
Maybe the Patriots will win. You'll get laid. That'd be great.
Patriots have a better chance of winning.
All right, we got to go around the NFL.
Mine is Eric.
What happened last week, Eric? Do you know?
I declare peace every day.
Wow. Okay.
By the way, thank you for the spread, Kevin. Very good Chinese.
Yeah, very good
stuff, Kevin.
I like it.
What do you think about all this? Was it what you expected?
Oh yeah, definitely. The thing about
all the arguing.
Oh yeah, a couple of times I try to pipe in, and I feel like you have to raise your hand.
You do. That's I learned that lesson my first year on the show. You can't get a word in edgewise unless you shout.
They're resting Butler because he's going to be the playoff secret weapon. So
yeah, no. Yeah, no chance. I'd like to agree with you because I like him and I think he's going to be good, but I just think he's been beaten like a drum a few too many times, and he's back to a young, beat-down puppy dog that needs to learn.
I was hoping he could do kickoffs, because he did that in college, and he was good at that. But
yeah, it's weird that we haven't seen him given a chance there, especially now that he's not playing as much at corner.
I think they did it once or twice, and then after that, it was...
Well, he wasn't very good in his ball skills in camp. I don't know if you remember that. He had a couple punts bounce right off his face. He missed two straight, and I think he fumbled a kickoff, too.
There was a joke in there.
Yes.
The only person with more balls bouncing off his face...
All right, sorry.
I was going to yell at you.
I didn't say it.
Eric, do you know what happened last week?
Yes.
All right.
I was the big winner at 12-4.
Wow.
The rest of you chumps were 10-6.
So you weren't really the big winner. Everybody had a good week.
I was a winner. With the spread, I was tied with Fred, actually, at 10-6.
So Fred's little go against everybody else style kind of worked last week?
Kind of worked a little bit. Paul was 8-8. Andy, you were 7-9. So for the season,
Kenyon's running out of gas.
Kenyon is Enyon.
For the season, the Ethiopian.
What does Enyon mean?
The Ethiopian.
You rhyme
that
like my 2-year old. Just sounds like the same thing.
I am 164-76.
Question mark?
No, I'm just saying. I'm one. Oh, because Paul's handwriting's a little scratchy here.
Yeah, but compare that to 07.
Yeah,
Paul writes like a girl.
164-76. Andy, you're in second.
Woohoo!
You're fighting for second with Paul. You're 160-80. Paul's 159-81.
And
Fred
taking it on the chin, 145 past the tonsils down into his stomach.
145-95. Now with the spread, I am also leading. I'm fighting. Paul, again.
Why are you pointing at me? I'm not fast.
Because you are up in the head, you are. 127, 110, and 3. Paul is 124, 113 and 3. Andy's 114, 123 and 3. And Fred, 113, 124 and 3.
He's trying to get to 500, though. I don't think he's going to make it.
All right, I'd need a 9-game spread this week.
Yeah. So okay. Should I start the emails now about Mike Leach joining the Patriots staff as offensive coordinator? Because he has a relationship with Wes Welker.
Oh, yeah. He does. He does indeed.
They worked well together.
All right, well, we got to hurry, though, fellas.
Yeah, we got to hurry.
We need an offensive genius.
Wow, we got 15 minutes.
Yeah.
17, according to the clock.
Okay, first game, Indianapolis at Buffalo, where the road Colts are the underdog.
Yeah.
6.5 points.
How the hell should I know? Is it going to be all Curtis Painter? Some Curtis Painter?
Yeah.
I'll take the Bills. How many points?
6.5.
Oh, crap. I'll take the Bills.
Bills both ways, huh?
I guess. I'm going to assume that they're going to not play at all this week after bowing out early in the second half last week, right?
Yeah, but you know what?
So I'll say that Ryan Fitzpatrick is better than Curtis Painter. I have no idea.
Yeah, I know. It's a horrible game.
I want to. Anybody get a coin? I'm just going to flip.
Buffalo's at home. You know what? I'll take the Bills to win. But I'll take those points.
Taking the points. Yeah. The Colts and the Bills.
I mean, who knows? It's just so ridiculous.
I'll take the Bills. You always want to go out on a good note when you're playing at home. So I'll take the Bills. But,
Both ways, Bills?
I'll take the points, too. I mean, I'll lay the points.
You'll lay the points?
Yeah.
Okay. So Bills both ways.
Go.
Got to hurry.
Okay.
Quickly.
Got a lot of picks.
New Orleans at Carolina, where, again, the road team, New Orleans, better record, is the underdog. 4.5 points, Carolina's favored.
Now, New Orleans has said all along they were going to roll through. Now, that was obviously contingent on sort of a perfect record.
And Steve Smith broke his arm.
He did. On the touchdown catch, against the Giants, he came over the middle. And
I'm going to take New Orleans to win and cover because I think they look at it as they have a bye, right?
They do, yeah.
So that's clinched, though. That's locked up.
They have home field.
Minnesota fumbled it away. So they have
Minnesota
the bye.
Even,
I think they look at it more
like
Bill
even...
does, that you already have the bye. You can't rest too early. Sure. I think they'll play long enough to get a lead that they can hold.
And they have
to.
More talent. They're a better team. I'll take New Orleans to win outright as well.
Me too.
Okay, next game. Go.
We're in agreement.
Quickly. Take your time.
Jacksonville at Cleveland. Again, the road team, the underdog. Cleveland favored by 1.5.
I am
basically
take
a pick 'em here.
Cleveland to win. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars packed it in at 14-0 last week
against
the Patriots. I think mojo is all done. I think they're just going to give up.
I think the Browns players are fighting for jobs.
I think the Browns players know Mike Holmgren is up in some luxury suite somewhere making decisions that'll affect it moving forward. And they've been running the football with Jay Harrison, for which he'll ever always be known. He never gets a
never
first
gets
name.
The first name. I'll take Cleveland too, and just for that reason, Jacksonville looked like they packed it in last week, and you know, Cleveland not going to make the playoffs, obviously, but they have something to fight for.
I'll tell you who should pack it in: football fans. Don't watch this week. There is no reason to.
Don't watch those.
I know there's so many games that are played, but it's just crap. It's a weekend of crap. Take a vacation. Take your wife out. You married, Kevin?
No, I'm not.
Oh.
And we're going to get a big snowstorm, so we might as well.
I don't check men's fingers like Eric does. He, you know, he's available. So
what are you talking about?
Wow.
What are you talking about?
Wow. Can we get some clarification on that? Who was the guy you asked? You wanted to know how long is?
No.
What?
Shut up. I don't know what you're talking about. But you're breaking all kinds of promises.
No,
here
that's
today.
Fact. When I wasn't here, didn't he ask somebody?
No, it was the guy's girlfriend who was standing right next to me. Never mind. Let's move on. We gotta go. Cleveland or Jacksonville?
You asked his girlfriend.
Cleveland or Jacksonville? We gotta move on.
How long is
Cleveland or no? Cleveland or Jacksonville? What are you doing?
I'm gonna go with Jacksonville. I think Del Rio yells at them and they play hard.
Okay. Philly at Dallas. Again, the better team, I would think,
is
the underdog. Dallas by 3.
Oh. Philly
Why
are
you
clinched.
Skipping all the 1 o'clock games?
He's I'm going in the order Paul that Paul writes them in.
Why
he always
he
writes them in. I don't
he
know.
Write
it's
them
Paul,
in order.
You know.
I am going to say I'll take Dallas because
you
I think
Philly's
Philly,
packed it in.
I think they're going to rest a little bit.
Really?
I don't think that,
what?
Yeah.
Isn't this a seeding?
I thought they already had the 2 seed.
No, they're 11-4 like Minnesota is.
Oh.
This is for the East. NFC East.
It's for the NFC East and for the second round.
Right. This is a big game.
The second
Philly
seed.
Could either be number 2 or I think number 6.
Yeah, the way it's so screwy because The other teams are all 10 and 5.
Yeah, you got to win this game.
Okay, I'll take Philly because I think they're the better team.
Yeah, I do too, which means I'm going to do.
I'll probably see Asante Samuel pick off Tony Romo.
And run it the
other
way.
No, not what you just did, Kevin. Let it go through his hands.
Well, he did do that too.
Yeah, for us.
Every time I see, he's running down the sideline with the ball.
Oh, really?
I'm taking Philly as well.
You see the same highlight reel over and over again?
No. It's a different week. That's what makes it so great. It's a different week and a different game.
What are you doing?
How many interceptions does he have this year?
9, tied for the NFL
lead. Does he really?
Does he really, son of a bitch? He's good. He's tied for the NFL lead with 9.
Who are you going with?
Philly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does he really? What do you think he had, like 3?
I have 3 or 4.
Chicago at Detroit, where the home Lions are the underdog getting 3.
Who the hell's playing quarterback? I saw Trent.
I don't know.
Whatchamacallit. No.
I don't know.
It's Trent, the guy from Michigan State.
Drew
Stanton.
Yeah.
Started and got yanked. And
that's too bad.
Stafford had surgery.
Stafford had knee surgery, and it was his shoulder that was.
I'll take the Bears. Problem. You know, Cutler will beat up on a crappy team because that's what he does.
Yeah.
I don't like him.
I'll have to agree. I don't like him either, but they're just good enough that the quarterback issues in Detroit. I'll take Chicago.
Yeah, I'll take Detroit. Chicago, too.
I want Detroit to have a good season at some
Plus
point.
Plus, Detroit wants to lose, so they have a chance of getting the number one overall pick again, back-to-back years.
Yeah. Pittsburgh's at Miami, where finally the road team is favored. Pittsburgh by 3.
Pittsburgh by 3 over my. Yeah, I'm going to say the Steelers aren't. You know, they're saying they're not begging for help because they're going to win. They're going to kick the ass of the Dolphins. Plus, Chad Henne stinks.
He does.
What are you shaking your head over there? Don't you believe it?
I hate Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Yeah,
I
like it. Yeah,
we do too.
I have a Steelers
jersey. The
only
one that likes them is Andy the Trader.
Because I like Roethlisberger
and Mendenhall.
Mendenhall.
And Lima Swede.
I like Roethlisberger too, but I hate the Steelers.
Kevin Colbert.
And the most overlooked man in all of sports. You do have a man crush on him. And James Harrison.
Pittsburgh wins the game.
And Lamar Woodley.
Pittsburgh wins the game.
But doesn't cover?
What's the spread?
They're favored by 3, Fred.
No, they cover.
Okay. All right. Giants.
Giants.
Are
you
going
do a lot of gesturing. He's very distracting. I can't focus. He's shaking his head.
I hate the Giants too.
There are a lot of teams you hate, apparently.
Flailing over there.
Giants going to Fraudisota to play the Childress Favres, whatever you want to call them.
I hate Brett Favre, too.
I don't know who's in this game. To Fraudisota to play the Childress Favres?
Yeah.
Who the hell's playing? I will take...
Giants at Minnesota, where Minnesota's favored by 9.
Minnesota will win, and they will cover, because you know who will get to play?
Tavares Jackson
will run all over the Giants' defense.
Well, the way the Giants played so embarrassingly in their finale at Giants Stadium, I don't see them putting any effort in. OCU Manura basically said, "I'm not going to be a Giant next year."
Right.
So, I'll take Minnesota to win this game, and I think they're playing for something. So I think that'll matter.
They are. I thought that they were locked into number 2. They screwed.
They're not locked into number 2. They're tied record-wise with the Eagles right now. So they have to. They have to.
Oh,
if
they
lose and the Eagles win, the Eagles get the 2.
Well, they could have had number 1, but now that's
up. Now that's off.
One's out. Two is still.
But
they
could go as low as 4. They could go as low as 4.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Giants. I think that as an organization, they make a commitment to show up this week, and they beat them.
So a secretary is going to show up to help them, right? As an organization.
Right.
Giants outright, huh, Freddie?
Yep.
All right.
No chance.
Cincinnati is traveling to the Jets, where the home Jets are 10-point favorites.
Sunday night game. Why are we already at
the I'm going in the order.
You got to hurry. Shh.
10 points.
You just got shh.
You don't want to know the spread? Fine. I'll be quiet.
I will take the Jets to win, but 10 points is a lot, so I will not.
Okay, I think I'm going to do the same thing. I think the
I'm
Jets
gonna do the same thing too.
Have fought or are fighting for something, and Cincinnati's not.
I don't know what's with Cincinnati.
So you're taking the Jets
taking
to win,
the Jets,
Cincinnati
but not cover.
Okay,
Cincinnati's kind of like the Patriots. We've played about 16 games now, and I really don't know how I feel about them at this point.
Okay, San Fran at St. Louis, San Francisco, the road team by 7.5.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Will lose. No, they will win. I'll take San Francisco to win on the road. They're fighting, as Fred said about Del Rio. Singletary will yell at them, and they'll play well on the road. And the Rams want to lose so they can try to get the number one pick, right?
Right. I'm going to do the same thing. San Fran wins big.
Ten points. San Fran, yep.
A lot of picks.
Okay, Atlanta at Tampa Bay. The road team, the Falcons, 2.5-point favorites.
Atlanta will get it
Tampa
done.
Tampa Bay, big win last week.
Huge win last week. I don't know how they did it, why they did it, what was going on there. It won't happen again.
I don't think so either. I'm going to take Atlanta.
Me too.
ATL.
A lot of picks
ATL.
Here.
ATL. I know. Pretty good game on paper here, at least. Arizona hosting the Green Bay Packers.
The Pack.
The home Cardinals are 3.5-point favorites.
I am going to take the... Now, are these two teams locked in? Are they?
They're locked into the playoffs, not the seeds. All the seeds are all up for grabs, except for the number one.
They're locked into 3 and 4, right? No. They're... Cardinals are
Cardinals
four.
Are a division winner, so they'll
but
be
the,
yeah. It's kind of like Cincy and New England,
I think. So there's something to gain, but not
there
a huge
something.
Gain.
Although I think the number two might also be in play there.
I don't think number two's in play. I will take the Packers. But. The defense is playing well. I think they get some hits on Kurt Warner. Then that forces them to take Kurt Warner out of the game. They kind of pack it in late, even if not by plan.
Yeah, but then they put
Packers
Leonard
win.
In.
So he stinks.
He's a pretty good backup.
He stinks.
All right.
I think because they're so closely matched and it's a home game for Arizona, I'm going to take the Cardinals.
I'm going to take the Packers.
He's always been a Packer. Always wanted
always
to be.
Wanted to be. Kansas City at Denver. The home Broncos, 13-point favorites against Matt Castle's Chiefs.
I'm going to take the Broncos to win, and unfortunately they won't be .500. And I will take the points, so that's a lot of points. I think it's.
I will too.
They play tight games. They're not good enough to blow people out.
No, they're not.
Same here.
Denver to win, KC
Denver,
with the points.
Denver, but I'll take the points.
Okay.
A lot of games.
5 minutes to go, and we got four picks. I don't know how we're going to do it.
Ready, go.
I was being a little facetious there. Baltimore travels to Oakland in a must-win for the Ravens. They're 10.5-point favorites. 10.5, as Paul has been.
10.5.
Likes to say nowadays. 10.5 points.
I will take the Ravens to win.
I will, too.
And I'll take them to cover. They roll into the postseason.
Okay, I think that's a lot of points.
So you can't do it?
Yeah, I'm going to have to take Oakland with the points.
I just think that Baltimore really destroys Oakland in this game.
Okay.
I'm with Fred.
More than two touchdowns, huh?
Yep.
All right.
Nope, just needs to be 11 points.
Washington at San Diego. The home Chargers, 4-point favorites. Over the... Skins who've played surprisingly well for a lame duck coach, wouldn't you say?
No.
I mean, they've at least fought in some of their games.
At points, they fought.
At points, but then 2 weeks ago, they came out
they
and threw
themselves.
Up a huge stinker.
I will take the Chargers to win with their backups and cover. I would assume they'll do some resting with Rivers in the second half. Who is their backup quarterback? Anyone? Newman?
That's a good question, Andy.
Cleo Lemon.
J.P. Losman.
Is it not?
No, he's a Raider.
He's a Raider.
Is it not?
I don't know.
Oh God!
I forgot
his name now. I forgot.
Not
his,
that
I don't
relevant.
Know.
We can move on.
Can't forget.
Only got 5 minutes.
I'll take
picks.
San Diego to win and cover as well, even though they're probably going to rest some guys.
What's the spread?
4 points.
Yeah, San Diego both ways.
This could be a game where, like, what's that? The white foot Jacob Hester will have like 85 yards rushing and a touchdown.
Billy Volek, is he still the backup there? That's
I was thinking
of,
but I don't know. Their backups will get it done.
Okay. Tennessee travels to Seattle.
Well, they rested Austin Colley in this game.
4-point favorites, the Titans.
Titans!
The road Titans.
Finish strong because the Seattle Seahawks are not finishing strong. They've been crapping themselves left and right. Fred, did you read that thing about Deion Branch and all the receivers on a radio show trying to say how
they're so talented
and they're this, but they're not winning, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? You're not that good. You're not that talented, and the Titans get it done.
I agree. I'm going to take Tennessee both ways.
Yeah, me too.
Is Johnson in line for a record, Chris Johnson? I know he fell off the pace, but could he break any records?
He'd have to have a really big game.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
I think like close to 200 yards.
Big Johnson.
All right, and with 4 minutes to spare, we're at our final game.
It's actually 2 minutes.
Not according to that clock right there.
This is the clock.
It's like a minute 10.
Minute 10.
Oh, crying out loud. Stop wasting it.
All right, Patriots go to Houston, where the home Texans are 8-point favorites over your New England Patriots.
I'm going to take the Texans to win and cover.
I am, too.
Because you guys know I think he's a nice man, but my philosophy on Brian Hoyer is the more he plays, the more likely you are to see a pick six. Because he has a very weak arm, the ball takes forever to get there. And if he throws outs to Isaiah Stanbeck, they will be touchdowns for
And Houston
Robinson.
Has something very important to play for. A spot lots in the playoffs.
Of, yeah. First winning season, a
first
spot
winning
in the playoffs.
Season, right.
Their
all
head
that
coach's
stuff.
Job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm
pride.
Gonna, I'm taking the Houston
the home
Texans.
Crowd.
Got to take the Houston Texans.
The Oilers.
I almost said the Oilers. 24-10.
And covering. Yeah, 24-10. 24-10. Okay.
14 points.
So there you have it. We'll get Paul's picks later, but it probably won't matter because I'm going to end up winning this thing.
And we have to thank Kevin again for lunch.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Kevin, thank you for lunch, and I want to wish everyone a happy new year. The next time we talk to you will be 2010.
Be a new decade.
Yeah, a new decade, a new start for Eric and the Patriots. This is the decade of doubt for Eric Scalavino. So I was going to get to that.
I got to run to the locker room.
I was going to get to
you
that.
You going to go?
I might be down.
All right, so... thanks for listening. Thanks for lunch, Kevin.
Kevin, say goodbye to everybody.
John's on the phone.
Goodbye.
He's in his basement getting ready for his show. What do you got coming up, John?
Not in my basement, though, Fred.
Oh, where are you?
I'm at the College Football Hall of Fame in South Bend.
Oh, wow. What you doing there?
Basketball tonight.
Notre Dame versus Providence?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, correct.
Hey, are you loving all this Polian stuff?
You know, I mean, it is... I think he's a buffoon. So, I mean, the more he opens his mouth, you know, the more he just sort of, you know, indicts himself anyway, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, but don't you love it? I love it.
He's becoming a really nice villain, I think, for people to, you know, sort of, you know, root against in the NFL and not just Patriots fans. So I don't care if he keeps talking. That's fine. It just adds more fuel to the fire. And, you know, of course, all of his reasons for, you know, pulling the players and everything don't make any sense at all based on, you know, what the Colts' past history is.
Right,
been,
right. So it's crazy. All right.
Wait, I got to get one. John, as a Texas guy.
Yeah.
Any reaction to the Mike Leach being fired?
I'm a little surprised, to be honest with you. You know, because Texas Tech has, you know, had their profile elevated a great deal in the 10 years that he's been there, and you know, and he brought in a high flying offense, and you know, and he's actually, you know, been able to recruit and make a difference and become more than just an afterthought after Texas and Texas A&M in the state. So I'm a little surprised that the university did this, which leads me to believe that, you know, there was a real conflict of interest in terms of personality between Leach and the university president, because
right.
Obviously, you know, I mean, you would think in Texas winning would be enough. So apparently there was something else going on
right.
there.
So maybe he'll be your next offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots.
I doubt it.
All right. See you, John.
All right, John. Yeah. Have a good show. And to everyone again, happy new year. We'll see you next Tuesday.